Coming up on TMS, Reaping Souls has never been this much fun.
Scott cheated with the dog yesterday.
It's a good thing you didn't read ahead. E-cigarettes could be poisonous.
Florida woman did a terrible thing on her lawn.
P. Diddy is Puff Daddy again.
Oh, thank goodness. Our long national nightmare is over. Captain America is ready to retire.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Liquid fabric softeners were too inconvenient, so I put some Bounce in our lives.
Bounce, my clothes now fresh and clean. Bounce, bounce, my things are clean. Bounce, my shirt.
What's a bounce in your life?
I can't achieve penetration further back than 1910.
The morning stream.
This is The Morning Stream. It's just what the doctor ordered.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream. It's somebody in the chat room earlier put it out that it is TMS PM Eve is what those days are now.
Okay, I'll take that, sure.
He's looking forward to it in kind of a Christmas sort of way.
Aww.
It's Wednesday, March 26th. Yeah, right? I mean, I do. Yeah. I do as well. It's becoming quickly, too. So it's not like we had to struggle with it much, but it's quickly becoming such a nice little tonal shift that I look forward to it quite a bit.
Yeah,
I don't see it so much as, oh, no, a fifth one of these. I see it as, oh, yeah, another thing.
Right, right.
That's also good, you know?
Exactly. It's like, I don't know. Don't get me wrong. I love TMS AM.
Yeah, of course.
But TMS PM is a new additional thing to look forward to. It's not just a new outlet, but like a new, it's the thing you're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thing.
Right. It's the thing you're familiar with.
It's the thing you're familiar with, but we get to do something different with it that's fresh.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. Kind of like, you know, here are the three things I'd say.
Because I don't want to make it sound like I don't feel like we can be fresh on this show.
Oh, no, we're always fresh.
Every single day.
This conversation right here is fresh, I would say.
It is, yeah. It is.
No, always fresh here at the Morning Stream.
All right.
But here are the three things I'd say about it. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's fresh.
Yeah.
And a caveman.
And a caveman.
You'll have no new, no fresh, and no nude Lieutenant Yar.
Nude Lieutenant Yar, you said. That's fantastic.
I think I did, actually, didn't I? This is outrageous!
All right, you guys.
Hey, how caught up are you on The Walking Dead?
One episode behind, so just this Sunday. I saw the hardcore business there. Although, you know what? I don't know what happened Sunday, so
I'm not going to spoil anything, but... So yeah, things happen, but that's not actually the big...
If the governor comes back as a zombie, I'm out. I'm done with that show.
No, I think somebody already dealt with that. I think Michonne already dealt with that.
Did she? Because I know she stabbed him real good, but did she really end it all? Did we get a...
We got closure on that business.
Okay, we're not going to have a one-eyed freaking zombie want to shamble in and kill everybody. That'd be bad. All right, don't give it away. I don't want to know.
No, I'm not giving. There's certainly it's not a plot issue. It's not a story issue.
Okay.
There is an appearance in the most recent episode of Walking Dead that I think you're gonna like.
Appearance.
An appearance. That's all I'm gonna say. That's as far as I'm gonna go.
The ghost of Merle? No.
No. I'm telling you, it's not a plot point. It's
I'm giving other things away by guessing. I just realized that if people haven't watched, okay, I'm done. I won't say anymore,
exactly.
Everybody.
It's
I'm
so
done.
Hard to.
I apologize.
Yeah.
It's The Morning Stream. Did I tell everybody that? March 26, 2014? It is. It's me, it's Brian, and we're here. We're doing it. We're doing it. We're here. Get used to it. We got a little something to talk about today. First of all, so it's no big secret that I'm a giant Blizzard fan. I like all their games pretty much equally. I just think they're all amazing. And I'm probably the most, if you had to look at my historic playtime with Blizzard games, historically my favorite series is the Diablo series, probably kind of by far. The original Diablo was just kind of a mind-opening thing. And it just was amazing at the time. And you could play, four people could freaking play together. You got to understand, this is 1998 or something, six, right, whatever it was. And nobody had done, this didn't exist. Nobody was doing this. You couldn't play in a game with other people and drop things on the ground and share them and go quest together and stuff. That just didn't exist. So right, we owe this huge debt of like gratitude. All RPGs everywhere have to look back on Diablo and go, wow, thanks, man, because you really inspired this. So I have a lot of just fond memories for one. Two is freaking amazing, and I played the hell out of that and came back to it, all the time. And I just, years later would play it. I just freaking love that game. Diablo 3 came out, loved it. It's great. Had some issues, mostly dealing with Auction House, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's all gone now. Reaper of Souls came out on Monday, Tuesday, whatever it was. What was it, Monday yeah. night? Got it, played it. I can't stop. It's fantastic. It's arguably the game that 3 could have and should have been. The focus clearly back on what made Diablo great in the first place and not on that silly Auction House. It's it's awesome. And I'm all in, and I'm loving it. And the new act is great. I can't wait for adventure mode. I played very a bunch cool. of the beta. It's just really good. So I just want to put it out there. It's good.
Who did I play? Was I playing with you at BlizzCon? Was it you and I playing? Okay.
Yeah, we're playing a bit.
It was
a
blast. Yeah, on playing PCs. The beta together. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't remember because we were in line with the Spags, and I don't know if they went off. Yeah, they did. They went off to a separate machine.
They went and played on a PS4.
I thought we were playing on a PS4.
I thought we played on a PS3.
No, was that a 4? I remember saying, ooh, these new controllers, the new PS4 controllers feel great.
Was that me?
Because this was about...
I know I played it, but I can't remember if it was with you or not. I played PC and the PS4 version, and I can't remember who I was hanging around with. I want to say Terpster was there because I felt this strange heat to my left all the time. Like right. this weird European heat.
Weird European heat.
Yeah, that's the name of today's show. I'm going to write that down.
The new Jean-Claude Van Damme film.
European heat, okay.
Weird European heat.
Yeah, weird European heat. Anyway, it's good. It's really good. And now the question is,
it is really good.
The console version, the ultimate version that's coming out, that is bound to be a load of fun. I, because of my character so far and deep, and I beat the other game 3 times in a row, it makes sense for me to continue on the PC route for that. But, you know, the idea of some couch co-op with Nick, that sounds pretty good to me. So I may end up, I don't know. What was I saying?
The co-op was great.
Yeah. So anyway, Reaper of Souls, real good, real, real good. If you're any kind of Diablo fan, I don't know how you could not love this. But I'll tell you who doesn't. You want to hear who doesn't?
Who doesn't love it?
Well, let me tell you,
I'm
Brian.
Curious.
Yeah. Take a wild guess, and you might be right if you said, hold on, I got to pull it up here. If you said user reviews on Metacritic. Let's see what they have to say today.
Oh.
I'm going to find the least English one I can find here.
So the least English, like this.
let's see. Most of the user reviews are super hot right now, so people are really digging it, but there's always somebody. Here we go. Here's one from Seether. It's an appropriate name.
The band. Wow. This is great that they're getting into, getting into this as well.
Yeah.
It says, getting into reviews, not just music.
Here we go. Seether said, yes, right? I used to like Seether.
Yeah, I did too.
What happened to them? You know they got talent. Whatever happened to
Seether? It's, you can't even say that anymore in a serious way.
No.
Without it going right to...
Right to what's his name? We should send
right
him a like a
curry.
We should send him a fruit basket or something just to thank
him. We should.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to my fruit basket?
that thing had towel.
Whatever happened to Adam Curry? He's got a fruit basket.
That thing's got bananas in it. All right. It's this
version of Careless Whisper.
Here's what Seether said on the 26th, which is today. All right. Okay. So fresh off the presses here. He says, it's a same boring casual Diablo 3. Minimum changes €40 for this not an option. Never forgive launch Diablo 3 fail. Blizzard become suck. There you go. You think I'm kidding too, but it is real.
Blizzard become suck.
They've only ever done one review, which is too bad because I would like to read them all now. They've only ever done one.
Aww.
Yeah. So whatever. It's good. The game's great. And well worth your time, money, and effort. And I recommend it. Now, I got to tell you how I cheated with the dog yesterday. Now, before you let your mind go wild about what that means, when a human says that, I'm out with the dog. It is beautiful yesterday. 73 degrees. Sunny, gorgeous, warm. I haven't felt
spring
this
is
good.
Here.
Oh yes. Gosh, dude. It was so great. But I mean, there's for some people it isn't. Like in Boston, it's snowing like a butthole right now.
Yeah.
It's horrible there. So, you know, part of the country's like, where is spring? And I'm out here just enjoying the 72 degree weather. And we're supposed to get a rain tomorrow or something. It'll suck after a while.
The important thing is not to feel guilty about having good weather out here and when there's not good weather in other parts of the country.
No.
You can't feel guilty about that.
No, and they shouldn't feel resentful that we have it nice right now. I've had a few tweets that seem a little upset.
Yeah. Quit sending us your pictures of spring. We don't have it over here.
But I promise these people, I don't control the weather. As much as I would like to or claim that kind of power, I don't really control it.
Sure.
So I'm with the dog. Her name is Daisy. She likes to go out. She's excited. Mm-hmm. Where she's got the mind of a Labrador when it comes to walks. And she just loves it, even though she's a little shih tzu. So we're walking around the park. And she suddenly goes into... She has already crapped four times, mind you. I've cleaned it up four times. Four bags full of four bags of poo. Okay.
And these are bigger than the little raisin one that she did day before. Okay.
Correct. So you know, you're always saying your dog's like a one timer, grab it and go. Mine's like four or five times every time.
Yeah.
So we always take a bunch. I have this little satchel thing attached to the leash thing that carries extra bags. Mm-hmm. So I clean up all these things. Now she's out in front of, just happens to be in front of the Homeowners Association kind of building thing. In front of another place where they do a lot of the model homes. So it's more like an office than a house. And people are all out in droves because it's 72 freaking degrees outside.
Sure. Why wouldn't they be?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. So she picks the worst possible place to do another duty. But here's the problem. She goes in full squat mode. It's obvious to anybody looking that the dog is doing a unit there.
Getting ready to, right.
Right. She assumes the position. So I'm like, okay, here we go. Six times the charm.
And is there anything more awkward looking than a dog, the position that they have to get into and the face that they make when they're having to go to the bathroom?
When they scrape their butt on the cement after, that's more awkward looking.
That's pretty damn awkward. Yeah. But
don't you kind of wish you were a dog and didn't care? Because then you just, who cares? That's great.
Exactly, yeah.
So anyway, she does the position and she produces what I can only refer to as a sugar baby size poo.
Okay.
Now, it's so small because she's done. She's finished, but she's got this one final nugget, and she craps it in the grass. I can't even see where it went. But as I look up, everybody around is looking at me.
Right.
Or in some form of looking at me. Like
almost like, he's definitely going to pick that up, right?
Like he's going to leave it. I mean, he can't do that. Like that's exactly the feeling. I'm feeling the heat hard from this. And there's this building made of glass right behind me that's got all these people in it.
Bunch of people with their coffee cups all pressed against the glass watching you.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's
pointing,
some,
calling people over.
Yeah, like Iron Man was just sighted flying over the city.
Right.
So they are all watching me, and I can feel them watching me. So I totally cheat. I can't even see the poo, first of all. So I put the bag on my hand. It is aeration time here in the valley. That means that these guys come around and do that thing to lawns and grass where they pull up those little plugs of dirt.
Exactly.
And leave it everywhere, and now they're all over the place. And it just, you know, keeps lawns breathing. I don't even know what the hell you do that for, but whatever. Sure. There it is. Some gardening expert will email in and tell us what's going on there.
We pay $35 every year, twice a year, for somebody to come and do that.
Yep. And it's always a kid, like a kid trying to get football money or college tuition or something, which is great. We're happy to do what you got to do. But
sure,
it's a cost you're willing to shoulder. So I lean over, and I realize I can totally fake this. I don't even have to pretend that there's nothing in the bag.
You don't even have to mime a poop. Just
so I picked up two or three of those little dirt plugs from the aeration of the lawn, pulled those up in the bag, and then made – here's the best part. I got kind of theatrical with it because I pull the bag up, and I'm holding it up, and I'm twisting it and putting a knot in it so everybody can see this transparent, semi-translucent bag with what clearly looks like three or four dog stools in it, but it was just dirt.
Just dirt. Yeah. Too bad you couldn't do like a toss one in the air and catch it in the bag behind your back kind of thing.
That would have been great. I mean, like little dirt Tootsie Rolls is what they are. So I get home and I walk all the way home with this bag proudly out in front of me. Look at me, the neighborly guy picking up his dog schmear. And I get home I don't know. It felt like a movie or something. I walked to the front door. Kim's got an old flower pot out there that's got nothing in it right now because it's not quite spring enough to put flowers in it. And I turn the bag upside down, shake, 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 throw the dirt in there and walk in the house. And I still have the bag and I'm going to use it for a real turd later. So there you go.
Look at that. Even recycling. Wow.
I cheated, everybody. Go and tell your friends.
What could you do? If you can't find it, you know.
I'm not going to get on my knees and dig, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you did the right thing.
Okay.
I'm here to tell you, you did the right thing.
All right. I was looking for some validation.
Confirmation. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've given it to me and I appreciate that.
Sure.
All right. Well, let's validate further by calling Daryl the Trek nerd.
Okay. Klinger. By the way, before we do that, should we talk really quickly about the movie draft last night?
Yeah. How do we do? How do you feel our chances are? I feel a little nervous.
You feel a little what? Go ahead.
Just a little nervous.
I'm a little nervous too.
Yeah.
Our big tentpole of our group of our draft is Godzilla. We're putting a lot on Godzilla.
More than maybe we should, but it also could be this thing that blows everybody's mind and everyone goes to see.
It totally could. And I think it's going to be bigger than, I opened the wrong one. I was going to open it up to take a look at all the movies that we've got. No, I think it's going to be bigger than some people expect. I think it's going to be bigger than the guys last night were expecting.
I think it'll also be bigger. And I hate to, this is a hard prediction to make, but I think it's going to be bigger than Guardians of the Galaxy. I really do.
Oh, yeah. Ooh,
it is way more mainstream, dude. It's way more mainstream. That stuff, even if you've read the comic and get it, even those people have to admit, that's some weird offshoot stuff. It is not your typical thing. It's also tonally kind of odd, you know, like it would have seemed like a safe bet to put a lot of money on Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. But I think tonally, this is going to be real similar to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I hope so.
I hope so too.
I hope that people aren't soured by the Matthew Broderick stuff that came out, you know, the Hank Azaria film.
Well, it makes you wonder if they even remember. Like, I don't know how, you know, the way it's, well, adults like you and me are going to remember, but are kids going to care? Probably not.
Right.
I don't know.
But we also got, here's a couple that I think might do pretty well. 22 okay. Jump Street.
Yeah.
You jumped in on that one. I think you did. You got it for a bargain compared to what we had in the spreadsheet. We did a spreadsheet of predicted box office grosses for all the movies in the draft based on if there were sequels, based on their previous amounts and similar movies and things like that. I mean, you know, you've got an Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore movie in the lineup, and it's not hard to find another movie that's just like it.
Yeah, exactly. There's always some duplicate.
Right. Exactly.
There's some deep impact for It's Armageddon for sure.
Right. But we also, and I forgot about this, we got Planes, Fire and Rescue for 12.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the first Planes didn't do well, but people might be hungry for something like that around July, August.
It did okay. It did like 90 million.
90,000 or 90 million. Why do I keep saying 90,000? 90 million.
You need to adjust yourself for inflation.
I do need to. And then we also got Draft Day, Neighbors, which is your Seth Rogen, Zac Efron. We're really banking on the whole Zac Efron.
We really are, yeah.
Dynamic for that one.
Yeah.
And then we blew the rest of our wad on the James Brown documentary.
Get on up. And it was only $8, though, right?
It was only $8. And then on our spreadsheet, we said, we really don't need to pay more than $1 for this. But we only had $8 left, and we knew we weren't going to get the last two movies, which were Guardians of the Galaxy or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to snipe this one at $8. We're going to get it, and it'll probably do well. I predict $10 million on that one.
I predict that we may not win overall, but I don't think we're going to be, and we're not going to be last of the pack.
Certainly not going to be dead last.
No. I don't know who is at this point. And actually, it's a pretty good draft this year. It feels like a pretty intense kind of equally split mess. And whoever has Transformers, is that Schwood? Do they have Transformers? Those bastards. I think they do.
And they got it for a deal. Yeah, they did.
And
they
and remember, this isn't which movies are good. These are which movies are going to make the most domestic gross.
Right. As proven by that Adam Sandler movie a couple years ago where he plays a man and his sister.
Yeah, a man and his sister, and then did $150 million or something. It was ridiculous. So, yeah.
I don't know anybody who saw that movie.
I'm kind of excited to see how this all turns out. So keep an eye on it. Well, a big thanks to those guys and more as we get closer to all these films coming out.
And I'm so ticked that somebody sniped. Somebody faked me out with a fake bid.
Yep. I think that should be outlawed. That was should. It should be against the rules.
It was a purely strategic. I can't, you know.
I can't. I'm gonna press the league for a rule change. Yeah, because that sucked. We almost had it. We would have had it. You would have had it. We got duped.
Yeah, we would have. We would have bought that one.
I fell for it too.
Captain America.
Yeah, I just gave up and went, "Oh, someone already
it's already up to that."
All right. Well, I guess we're not gonna do it. No, then, it wasn't. It got like some bargain.
Got it for 26. Oh.
I think Tom got it because it was Schwood that faked it. Oh, those bastards! All right, we better do this before I get mad. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
Diary of a Cartoonist. Tunist, where you get to see the personal side of Scott Johnson on iTunes or at frogpants.com.
Or wherever podcasts can be downloaded or shared. Sure. Doesn't have to be iTunes, whatever. Downcast is great.
Sidecast.
Yeah. It's another one. Upcast.
Ripcast.
Ripcast. Is there a Ripcast?
No, but I should market like that name right now.
There should be.
Ripcast. Oh, I downloaded that on Ripcast. Yeah. Oh, that sounds so technical and awesome.
It's edgy, man. Ripcast. The guy just farts on his microphone all day. Hey, Daryl, speaking of guys who fart on their microphone all day, what's going on, man?
Well, I've come to tell you that aeration loosens the soil and gives roots room to grow. That's water and nutrients in.
Oh, well, that's a fantastic bit of, that's a fantastic bit of information. I knew you'd know. Because you'd know, you're a smart guy and you know things, that's good to know. But don't you think that was a good decoy for my little story today? I mean, that worked out pretty well for me.
I guess I missed that part.
Oh, you missed that part of the story.
He picked up the little bits of aeration and used it and mimed that it was the poop.
It was dog poop in a
bag. Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, I got that part.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was good.
Daryl, pay attention.
What do you think
we don't have you on this show for your looks, okay?
Exactly. We have you on the show for your that. Okay.
Brilliant mind.
Yeah. Your brilliant mind. Daryl, let's play a little game called Stump a Trek Nerd. You might be familiar with it. It's a thing we do here in the morning, and you're typically involved. In fact, you're almost always involved. And it's a Star Trek question regarding the Next Generation. It's a trivia question, and if you get it right, you'll win nothing, but you'll win the accolades and respect of the listeners and of your hosts here. In the Next Generation episode, All Good Things, all right, this is the final two-hour hoo-ha at the end of the series,
arguably one of the best episodes of TNG.
Of all Trek ever, I think. It's just fantastically done. And for a season that was as weak as Seven was.
Yeah.
That just was a great way to end it. In the Next Gen episode, All Good Things, in an alternate future, Data has become a professor at a very prestigious university. What university is Data teaching at in this episode? Was it A, Cambridge, B, Oxford, C, Newcastle, or D, Bradford? These all sound like British or European schools. I guess they are. That's why they sound like it, because they are.
Yes.
Cambridge, Oxford, Newcastle, and Bradford. Yeah,
just outside of Cambridge, by the way, there is an Ibbot sundial.
There's a
sundial. Yep, that was put there by one of my,
forebears.
One of my forefathers, or whatever. And when Tina and I went out there in '99, I think it was, we actually went to Cambridge and saw and took a bunch of pictures of the Ibbot sundial. It's a little worn, but it's still really cool. It's in front of these people's houses, and we sat there and we took pictures for about 20 minutes, and
that's great,
and probably get some weird looks from the neighbors and stuff. But
did the sundial show a 20 minute change in where the shadow was by the time you were done?
It did, and it was a little off.
Oh, really?
I don't remember.
It was a little off. That's great. Also, the name on the plaque, it was
Brian Ibbotson.
Brian Ibbotson.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a typo. Thanks.
What happened there?
It's one of Leo Laporte's forefathers.
That's not good. Why do I have this file?
Dribbles out of the vagina for a few days.
Oh, right. Geez. I forgot. You know, it's funny because I typed in Ibbotson, or I put IBB to find this clip, and in there was dribbles. Yeah, that's great. Fantastic. That's good news. All right. Well, Daryl, while you think on the Cambridge, Oxford, Newcastle, Bradford question, let us turn our thoughts and minds to this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
We have with us here. Now, you guys get to choose. We got the bag of the little coffee hoo-has thingies. Right. Or we have cookie dough Oreos made with chocolatey chips. Now, I would like to make a point about that. That does not say made with real chocolate chips.
It does not.
It says right. Made with chocolatey chips.
Right. Chocolatey.
I also like that they had to make sure to tell us here below the photo or below the image of the giant cookie dough image. It yeah. says enlarged to show detail. Well, thank you for that, Nabisco.
But this is a new approach for Oreo, like not just having the filling, but actually jamming stuff into the filling.
Correct. This is new, I think. They did this a little bit with the peppermint ones. There was a little bit of candy cane in there.
Crispy candy cane in there. Yep, yeah, you're right.
But previous to that, I don't know of any others that were like that.
How many of the marshmallow crispy Oreos did you eat yesterday?
Okay, I have a confession. Okay. I only ate one with the filling because I believe that filling is literally Satan's tool of Satan. So I ate a bunch more, probably five more, but okay. I took the filling out of them and just ate the cookies. Out? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the vanilla Oreo cookies, like the sans filling cookies, are probably
they're edible,
one of the best things you can. Oh, yeah, they're great.
Quite good.
I ate exactly, counting the one that I ate on the show, I ate one cookie yesterday.
Oh, you're such a way more sticking to the diet guy than me.
And the bag is within arm's reach of where I'm at right now. Like, I can hold this bag up. It is within arm's reach.
Were you ever tempted, though? Did you ever feel, did you ever have to turn yourself down?
A couple times, yeah, but it wasn't even turning myself down. Is like, oh, those cookies are right there. Nah, wow, wasn't even like, oh, don't do it, Brian. Don't do it. You're trying to lose some weight.
You're the very visage of self-control.
Not usually, but yesterday I was, and I was proud of myself.
Now, Daryl, on the other hand, I heard about this. He's not going to probably admit this, but he opened the entire bag, dumped them all out, took the top off of each one, and then stuck them all to his bald head. Just. And then walked around the rest of the day like that. Admit it, it's true. All right. So which one do you got?
How many Oreos I could stick to my bald head? That's
you should do that. Oh, and the photos. Do it right before you shower or something.
Yeah. Oh, well, I have to do it right after I shave my head because it needs to be really cleanly shaven. The stubble won't help.
No. That'll act as a repellent.
Yes.
Stubble, as we all know, look it up on Wikipedia. Stubble is a Oreo repellent. Yep.
Yeah.
Totally so true. You guys choose. Daryl, we'll let you choose because you're the guest here. Do you want to do the Oreos? Do you want to do the little bag of coffee ding-dongs?
Well, I have to join you guys, and I only had one cookie also.
Oh.
Wow.
And I added the rest to the collection that the kids feed from for the whole year.
That's great. That's a good idea.
Put it in the trough, basically.
Yeah.
The cookie trough.
The kid trough. We took I did do this, so all the innards that I took out of those four or five cookies – put in a bowl.
Oh, good. So that you can, like, if you need to do any drywall repair.
I need to caulk something. My tub's got a leak. Yeah. So my wife came down and she goes, "What the hell is this?" She says, as she sees the bowl. And I looked over and she's right. It kind of looked horrifying. It looked like something bad had happened. Like I had phlegmed up something terrible or who knew what. But anyway, I don't recommend doing that. So you picked, Earl. What do you want? Which one?
Okay. Well, the cookies look good with the cookies in the cookies.
Yeah.
Whoa. And I, well,
Inception,
I don't know,
man. That's great. I didn't even think about it that way. It is a cookie in a cookie.
Yeah.
Well, totally is.
On some other level, Indian guys crashing a van into the water real slow. Wow.
What would happen? You know what I want to do? I want to scrape the junk out of these Oreos and cook the cookie dough and see if it actually makes cookies.
Somebody did that with cookie dough ice cream.
I love that idea. But this makes more sense because this stuff, you could take three or four, scrape it out, make a patty.
Mm-hmm. Oh. You wouldn't even need to scrape it out. Like usually when you pull the cookies apart, these things are automatically still formed into little patties and you just throw them on a cookie sheet. I do love that idea too.
I'm going to do it today. I'm doing it.
Okay.
I think I know what's
going
to happen.
I'm going to film it.
I think these are going to melt into a liquidy goo and then catch on fire.
All right. Well, I'm going to test it. I'm going to do it. Kim's going to help me. I'm going to do it. She has to. It's kitchen stuff.
Yeah, these are so not cookie dough.
All right.
Cookie dough.
So let's eat one, I guess. Let's try it. Jeez. Okay. Hold on. These are, let's see how chocolatey chippy these are.
In case there's somebody in suspense, when they did that with the cookie dough ice cream, they took the little cookie dough chunks out of it. Those did actually bake into real cookies.
No way. Really?
Cool. Yep.
That freaks me out. Okay. Wow, this is a lot of filling. All right, here we go.
I usually don't open mine, but I'm opening these just to see if it really is cookie dough. Oh, that comes out easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are soft and
not. Oh. Now these wouldn't cook into anything. I think I'm right. I think these would melt and catch
this
fire.
This is cookie dough flavored goo.
You know what? Those are better than the ones yesterday, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, these are going to be bad for me. All right. Sure enough, made with chocolatey chips. Mm-hmm. There's no real chocolate in there, but hey, look, in a zombie apocalypse, you'll eat anything. So there it is. They're all good job.
These aren't really chips. They're goo.
Yeah, they're goo.
Yeah, chips are not chips. They're goo.
Enjoy the goo.
Really? They're just a different shade of goo.
Yeah. Aren't we
you
all,
touch
though?
Them and they anyway.
At the end of the day, we all are. Well, okay. Very nice. That's,
it reminds me, when I was a kid, next door to my grandmother's house, there was a kid that was a little bit older than me. He was kind of in between my age and my Uncle George's age.
Mm.
So we all still kind of hung out and did stuff together. And his name was Phil Pinelli, but his nickname, and I have no idea how he got this nickname, was Goo.
Goo?
Goo Pinelli.
Just straight up Goo.
Goo. Goo Pinelli.
Okay, great. That's what you want, right? I mean, I understand if somebody's like, yeah, it was Jimmy the kicker, whatever.
Right, exactly.
Goo? Ugh.
Goo. Goo Pinelli.
That's not good. All right, Daryl, let's get to birthdays. Anybody celebrating today, birthday?
Oh, let's see. Well, I don't know. How about Leonard Nimoy?
Oh, that's a big one. I didn't know he was born so close to Shatner.
Yeah. Almost the same day.
A few days. Yeah.
Wow, a couple days.
Imagine the party at their house back in 65 or whatever. 67, 68. When was that show made?
Yeah.
66
through 69.
Okay, great. They quit.
Yeah, they probably
right
all
when
sat
I was
around
born.
And they just sat around smoking all the time, probably.
speaking of that era, I watched The Doors, the movie, The Doors.
The one with Val Kilmer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Couple things. I never saw it when it came out, so this was new to me. I saw it on the treadmill, and I got a
Oliver Stone, right?
Yeah,
isn't
yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Couple thoughts on that. Mm-hmm. One. I feel, okay, three things. I feel really bad for Meg Ryan because she is so freaking adorable at this period of her career. Mm-hmm. And now she's a giant plastic face.
Yeah.
And it makes me sad because I felt like she kind of probably would have just aged gracefully. I know she's 52, but
yes,
I don't know why she had to do that.
You are not wrong.
And she was great in that. Really good in it. All right. So number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, Val Kilmer really did inhabit that character. Like he really really wore the skin of that dude. Say what you want about Kilmer and his career after that or whatever, but he was kind of nailing it. And three, the Manzarek guy played by the guy from Dune, I can't think of his name.
Kyle MacLachlan,
however you say it.
MacLachlan.
In the arms of the angel.
Sarah McLachlan.
Oh, okay, got it. No relation. All right. He was really weird as that character. Like, it freaked me out the entire... I could never get used to him wearing that wig. Those are the three things I walked away with. Worth seeing, though, if you're into that sort of thing. But it got me on this wild hair of I had to get all the Doors music I could find. So now I'm, like, constantly listening to, you know... And I figured out why.
The day behind the night, night divides the day. Something I'm ready to break on through.
Yeah. Which is great. And there's lots of, you know. Right? So I think it's because when I was a little kid, I mean little kid, 2-3 years old, I remember listening to The Doors and remember being transfixed by it. And so to this day, any of their music just puts me in a place. It's really, really weird.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I don't know why I'm telling you that story right now.
No, that's...
Daryl, how did you inspire this with Spock's birthday? That's really weird. All right. Birthdays are done. So now it's time for your question, damn it. Answer this thing.
But did we say that he's 83?
No, gosh, no, we didn't. Are they the same age then?
I think Shatner's a couple years older, isn't he?
I thought you said 83 last time. Maybe.
Well, let me look through my notes. It should just be right here.
Yeah, dig right through there. 83, 84, 88.
83, yes. They are the same age.
Same age now. Spock's just a little younger by a few days. That's interesting. Okay. Well, Cambridge, Oxford, Newcastle, or Bradford, what say you?
Okay, Bradford is a mint that sells you cheap plates.
Oh, yeah, it is. The Bradford Mint.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Newcastle is a city where I used to live.
All right. Wait, Newcastle where?
Washington.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay, got it.
Oxford is, I don't know, that's a place, and it's like Cambridge, which is also a place.
All right.
So you know, I guess...
One of those randy college towns.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So that narrows it down.
It does.
I mean, really about the time that I was a college town. I had to break my way out with a machete. And some chorizo.
Sorry.
Okay.
Continue.
So I've narrowed it down between Cambridge and Oxford. And since I'm pretty sure that the answer is Cambridge, I must just say that.
All right. Great. We'll just beat around the bush for a little while. Let's find out from the judges.
Congratulations!
You're correct.
You're a winner!
Data is teaching at Cambridge in the alternate future. Picard and Geordi visit Data. Data's housekeeper offers them some tea. She gives Picard the wrong kind. Here's the clip. Remember, he's an old fart by this point. He's kind of crotchety. Oh, yeah. So here you go. Here's that bit.
How'd you like your tea?
Tea? Earl Grey, hot.
Of course it's hot. What do you want in it?
Nothing. If you say this is Earl Grey, I'd swear that it was Darjeeling.
Hmm.
He's like a...
tastes like cloudberry spice.
We don't have any. We don't have any spam.
I expect that lady to say. good deal there, Daryl. Nice job. You are 2 for 3 this week, which is pretty damn good, I think, on the whole. That makes you 2/3 good. Tomorrow, we'll see how it goes there. Daryl's the Trek nerd on Twitter. He's also the This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. Daryl, why don't we play... I got a theme for today. Hold on. Let's do one of these. Here we go. Oh no, I don't have it. What? Scott. Aww. Scott. Hold on. I got it right here. I gotta pull it over. Hold on. Okay, here we go. Okay, now the theme for whatever the hell it is we're doing. What are we doing?
The year was 1910. Well, maybe not that far back. Anyway, Federation Starship or Canadian Superhero.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Go ahead. What?
Oh, no. What? Huh?
No, you have to say the name, right?
Oh, yeah, I do, huh? Yeah. Unless you want to just guess without that.
No.
Which
no,
you
no,
might
no.
do better at, actually.
No, I think you're the man to win the day here. Go ahead.
Okay. Vindicator.
Oh, I know that one.
That's
a member of Alpha Flight. That's I want to say that was the Heather when Guardian died, when James Hudson died, supposedly.
Yeah.
Heather Hudson took on the costume and became Vindicator.
She is so wife.
She's his wife. Yeah.
Oh, I'll just take your cape, eh?
So not for a sure, problem, I'm eh? Saying I'm saying Canadian superhero.
I'll just go ahead and keep the superhero alive, eh? no, that sounds fine because you know about that Alpha Flight stuff way more than I do. So I'm deferring to Brian here. We say it's a Canadian superhero.
Well, you haven't known about the Alpha Flight stuff so far because some previous ones were Alpha Flight. But
no
anyway,
way. not the 100-year-old black Superman.
Yeah, the Huxtable Grandpa was not part of Alpha Flight, was he?
Was he? I don't know. No, that was...
I didn't think any of the other ones. I was waiting for Puck or Box or Sasquatch or Snowbird or North Star or Polaris.
See, he knows way more. Geddy Lee's good.
Geddy
we like
Lee,
him.
Right?
Yeah. His powers were interesting. He had a big nose and he sang about space.
Okay, well, you just mentioned right. these from next week. I'm going to take those out.
Yeah. take
he was going to try and make us think that there was a Starship Puck. Was there?
It was there. I don't know. It's second season of Real World. That's where you saw him. All right. What time is it? It's time for the news.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Retro Gaming Magazine. Get your subscription right now, right this second at tiny.cc/retrosub, featuring comics from Scott Johnson.
That's right. Get in front of your mirror and do this 3 times.
Squirt, squirt, squirt.
Squirt, squirt, squirt.
And then Squirt Man appears behind you with the meat hook and Virginia Madsen's head. Oh,
I don't like the idea of Squirt Man at all.
Spoiler alert.
That seems bad. Okay. What are we doing here? We got some news. Oh, e-cigarettes. I know you've been smoking the blue e-cigarettes, right? That's a big deal for you.
Yeah, because I really like the blue glow that they give, the soft blue glow.
Yeah, you and who's the bad guy in Blade? It's constantly doing commercials for them now. Stephen Dorff. Yeah, take your freedom back, America. Start smoking these hipster freaking blue thing. You know, and I've got some friends who smoked, and then now are doing these, and they are thrilled with these. So I am not bashing these. I think they're whatever you can get as an alternative to kind of wean you or even permanently move you off something that's far more dangerous to your health. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of questions about e-cigarettes long term. We don't have real studies and stuff, and it's not really about smoke and carcinogens this time. It's more about, are those vapors, you know, doing things to your lungs long term and all this kind of stuff. But
well, and while I would agree with that, the term vaping,
yeah, it needs to go away.
Needs to go away.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you doing? I'm going to go outside and vape.
I'm going to go out and be vaping. Hey, you guys, you want to go vape? Ugh.
I'm a real vapist.
You don't want to be a vapist. Because the Germans, they do terrible things to the vapists. Yeah, vapist is bad.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that's funny. Why is that so funny? Anyway, so... The point is, there's an article or a study saying liquid nicotine poses a poison risk. And here's the risk. As e-cigarettes become more widespread, and they certainly are, the nicotine liquid used to refill them has been found in potentially dangerous situations. Liquid nicotine is a neurotoxin, and small amounts, whether ingested or absorbed through the skin, can be lethal. As the New York Times reports, poison control centers around the country are seeing rising rates of accidental poisonings, especially among young children. Here and Now's Robin Young. Wasn't that the chick from No Way Out that made out in the back of the car with...
Sean Young.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry, Robin Young.
So close. This is her sister. She's less crazy and had no idea, no inkling to be Catwoman.
Yeah. You remember, I mean, that was a big deal at the time. They were saying that whole thing wasn't simulated. Her and Kevin Costner were really doing it.
Oh, whatever.
That was all that rage at the time. I just remember Gene Hackman was evil in that movie. Anyway.
Yes.
Back to the
spoiler.
Point. Oh, sorry. Spoiler. What's the statute of limitations on that thing?
I think we're probably past. I think we're probably okay in this case.
Be a fun film sack, though.
Oh, God, yeah.
Wouldn't mind that.
I've forgotten so much of that movie except for the ending, but yeah. I'd love to see it again.
Sure. Let's see here. The director of the Kentucky Regional Poison Control, yeehaw, about whether she's seen a rise in nicotine poisoning from e-cigarettes. However, we heard from Here and Now listeners who praise e-cigarettes for helping them quit traditional tobacco smoking. Here's my guess here, is that the risk is low and it's not happening very often. And if your kid is breaking one of those in half and drinking it or something, yeah, then your parent, then ooh, you suck as a parent. So
yeah, exactly. Oh my God.
Don't do that. But
keep those things away.
But as an alternative, this is... I actually kind of applaud this, but I'm with you on the vape word. It needs to stop. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it.
You know, if there was a West Kentucky Regional Poison Control Center, it could be the WKRPCC.
Right, right?
WKRPCC. Just in case you ever wondered whatever happened to me. I'm working for... I'm keeping kids away from vape cigarette poison.
Poisoning.
At WKRPCC.
But that blonde lady looks like she's wearing a helmet, but really it's hair. What was her name?
Lonnie Anderson.
Lonnie Anderson. She looks like she's wearing a helmet.
Yeah. Yeah. Big Aquanet.
Mm-hmm. Big hard helmet.
Yep.
Good for safety.
Mr. Carlson.
I bonked my head, but good thing I got this thing on. Florida woman. She claims police made her poop on her lawn during a meth bust. I promise you guys, I don't look for poop stories. They just are there.
If anything, we look for Florida man and Florida woman stories,
sure.
And then it just happened to be about poop.
Sure. Florida woman is suing Volusia County. Did I say that right? I think wouldn't it be Volusia? Was it Volusia?
Volusia, yeah.
SIA? Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
That's fine.
How do you say the continent of ASIA?
I would say
Asia.
I say Asia. Asia.
Asia.
They're my favorite band from the 80s. What's an Asia song? Help me here. Give me one.
Only time will tell. Heat of the moment. Heat of the moment.
Heat of the moment. element. That's the one.
Yeah.
The one. Yeah. I remember it had a big whale or a dinosaur or something on the front of that.
It just had like the covers that were done a lot like the Yes covers, mm-hmm. right? Like big mm-hmm. prog rock, really well
yeah.
painted.
Very Boston-y, kind of.
Yes, very futuristic-y. God, we were into that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, for
Blue
a while.
Oyster Cult, those kind of album covers
yep.
and
yep.
Boston and Yes and Asia.
So did Journey did a bunch of those.
Yeah, right.
I want to see
Electric Light Orchestra.
I want to see my favorite trend in album art during the 80s by far for me was anything the guys over there at the Iron Maiden were doing. Cuz I just love that Eddie the Beast stuff and I love the paintings where there's one with him with an axe out on the street and someone's pulling on his shirt like he just axed him to death. And then there's like buildings behind him and a million things going on everywhere. I could stare at that all day in the record store. I just freaking love that stuff.
There were a lot of albums like that. News of the World by Queen was one of those album covers that,
yes.
especially when you folded the whole thing open, was like, God, there's a whole story in this album cover.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
And they don't do that. I don't think they do that anymore. You know, it's just like it's a hipster picture of the musician or, mm-hmm. you know, Kanye West looking off to the side pensively or whatever.
Yeah. I could use less of that and more of the
Roger
old way.
Dean. That's right. That's the artist. Love that guy's work.
Oh, somebody recommended we watch a documentary called Drew about the guy who did all the classic movie posters like Raiders of the Lost Ark, Star
Drew
Wars.
Struzan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a big documentary that's on Netflix. It's supposed to be amazing.
I met him at the Star Wars Celebration. He is a super, super cool guy. And what a freaking amazing talent.
Oh, the guy's an icon.
Jeez, yeah, I'd love to watch that documentary. Drew Struzan, huh?
I remember my junior high art class. We talked about that guy. I mean, it's always been a big deal to deal
with him and the Hildebrandt brothers were like the tops. Like
yeah.
you know, they were the ones you got for your movie poster if it was going to be a good movie.
Yeah, I miss that stuff.
Yeah, I guess Drew Struzan did do the Phantom Menace poster, but hey, you know,
hey, whatever, it's fine.
Whatever,
it's fine. It didn't, you know, not that the poster was bad. This movie sucked, but he was fine. Two-headed race guy. So stupid.
You know who one of my favorite artists is?
Who's that?
Is Scott Johnson. And he's going to be doing the album art for the brand new Andrew Allen double album. And it's not just going to be one cover. Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
Depending on if you're a Marvel guy or a DC guy, you have two covers to choose from.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be
amazing.
Check it
out at bit.ly/jazzhero.
Yeah, the guy's a good artist. He's kind of a dick in person, though.
Thank you, Cleo.
nice job. That's going to be great. I'm looking forward to that like no other. Florida woman. We talked about her. Oh, yeah. We haven't really talked about her, have we? We just kind of got started here. And
pretended it was aeration plugs.
She says police officers forced her to poop in her yard and undress in front of them while they searched her house for meth. They were trying to see if she had some meth in her can, I guess. Don Brooks says officers brought her outside in handcuffs and refused to request to use the bathroom indoors. They told her, just use the restroom right here, they said, in the front yard, which plaintiff did, according to district court judge's summary of the incident. Brooks claims instead of helping herself get cleaned up and dressed again, she was handcuffed at the time, remember. The officers had her stripped down and put on a plastic jumpsuit, laughing and yelling at her the whole time. Oh, my gosh, you guys. You're terrible policemen.
No kidding. How horrible. And I'm just visualizing this woman must have had just a gorgeous manicured lawn,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. all
meth houses do, Brian.
Meticulously cared for, bright green, clean, and
sure.
And recently mowed.
Yeah.
Sure.
If we've learned anything about meth houses, it's that they keep a real nice yard.
Yes.
Landscaping is job one in the life of a meth addict.
And the important lesson here, kids, if you know the police are coming to your meth lab, poop before they get there.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop brought to you by...
Right there on the lawn. It's the Daily Tech News Show starring Tom Merritt at DailyTechNewsShow.com. Hop on over there today and see how tech coverage should be.
Should be, will be, could be, and is. It's good stuff. Excuse me. Sean Combs, P. Diddy, you know him.
Yes.
Has announced that he's changed his name back from P. Diddy to Puff Daddy.
Kind of a
Prince move here.
Yes.
Yeah. Musician and here's the part I hate.
This publicity stunt is over. Let's start a new one.
Yeah, let's do a new one. Musician and media mogul. Also, his face is weird right now. You seen it lately? It's a little weird. Yeah, always kind of a cool, handsome guy.
I saw him on the Fiat commercial recently.
I'm gonna
like the Fiat in the desert commercial.
Do I know that? I don't know that.
I want to say it was a Super Bowl commercial. The guy's going through the desert and they come upon an oasis, and it's Puff Daddy having a party.
Yeah.
And they've got a Fiat, and the guy says, "Oh, Fiat doesn't make a hatchback. That's how I know this is fake," or something like that.
No, I don't remember seeing that at all. But he's, something's happening. His eyes are moving inward and toward his nose. Something's going on. I don't know what's happening, but something's going on there. Musician and media mogul Sean Combs has gone by Sean Puffy Combs, P. Diddy, and just plain Diddy. Announced he's returning to his old stage name, Puff Daddy, on Tuesday. Combs, age 44, dropped the name Puff Daddy in 2001. His decision to readopt his old name comes just before the release of his first album in 4 years, called MMM.
What a coincidence that it's right now is when this happens.
Yeah, how weird. How weird.
The timing, huh?
Doesn't seem, that seems real unlikely to me that he would do all this in the time, just in time for his album. How weird.
Right.
Says his name of his album.
No, it's just
No, it's just no. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's what the critics are going to say.
It's short.
The review.
What's it short for? MMM. I would say it's short for
Might Make a Million.
Masterful Monkey Masturbation. You know what? Might Make a Million's probably good. That's probably about right. Mike Muddled Morpheus. I don't know. Captain America star Chris Evans, also the Human Torch at one time in his life.
That's right.
Is going to quit acting altogether.
Two characters.
He's going to.
I like that Chris Evans guy. He's kind of a silly person, but he can play Marvel characters like nobody's business.
Excelsior. Come on, give me an Excelsior.
Excelsior.
You silly person.
That's right. He says he's going to quit acting to direct. He's Captain America on screen, but what Chris Evans really wants to do is direct. Evans, the star-spangled, shield-toting hero of Captain America, the Winter Soldier. I don't know if you'd want to be called that if you want to be cool, but whatever. The shield-toting star-spangled. Come on, man. And the Avengers said in a recent interview with Variety, he is ready to leave acting behind and focus on directing once his 6-film contract is up with Marvel. We might be able to read into that a little bit. So he's got one... Okay, so I think that's 3 Captain America movies,
right?
3 Avengers movies. It's got to be, right?
Sure.
Because that's the pattern people use.
They're probably not going to do they're probably not going to do another Winter Soldier. I'm sorry, another Captain America movie.
Right.
Let me rephrase that. They're probably not going to release 2 Captain America movies between Avengers 2 and Avengers 3.
No. I suspect they'll scatter them throughout.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know what they need to do now? All right, so Marvel, here you go. If you're listening, here's a free one. So after Avengers 2 comes out and we're ready for Phase 3 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe plan,
mm-hmm.
now start pairing them up, like having a Captain America and Iron Man team-up movie.
Love it.
And a Hulk and Hawkeye movie or a Black Widow, you know.
Yeah. Or, no. Look, Marvel has hit pay dirt doing the things you're talking about. They've done
They've been in comics.
Yep.
Let's do it in the movies.
You're exactly right. That's what they've been doing. Now, all they need to do is start killing people off and then come back to life miraculously, I guess, is the next comic move.
That's right.
32-year-old actor. He's only 32? I thought he was older than that. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Too bad he's not young and good-looking.
Yeah, that's too bad, right? Marvel.
Just want a director.
I thought he was like in his 40s for some reason. Why did I think that? Yeah. He just finished he took a break in the winter to film a very small little love story titled 130 Train. A movie was shot in 19 days for $3 million is all on Manhattan's Lower East Side. Stars Alice Eve as a woman who misses her train home from Grand Central Terminal and befriends a street musician played by Evans. Hilarity ensues.
He's played a lot of comic book guys, right? I mean, so he's got Captain America and Human Torch under his belt.
Push.
He was in...
Push? Wasn't he in Push? Push by Sapphire?
I don't know if he was.
No, it wasn't that.
But he was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World, so comic character there.
Yeah.
He was in The Losers, which was based on a comic book.
Yeah.
Was there another one?
Wasn't it Push?
He was the voice of Casey in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
2009. Yep, I'm right. Push, 2009. Chris Evans.
But that's not based on a comic. That's based on the novel by Sapphire.
No, that's the funny. That's the joke.
That's based on Precious.
No, I wish it was
the other way around. I know.
2009 American science fiction superhero film directed by Paul McGinnon. Film stars Chris Evans, Dakota Fanning, Camille Bell, blah blah, bunch of people. Film centers on a group of people born with superhuman abilities, and they band together in order to take down a government agency. It's basically X-Men without the license. That's what it is.
Okay.
And he's in that. He also died horribly in Sunshine. Did you ever watch Sunshine? Did you ever see it?
No, because the version I got from Netflix wouldn't play in the PlayStation. It was a known bug, so I need to get that back. Well, are we ever going to watch that for FilmSec?
Probably not. I think it's too good for that.
Okay.
I think it's a good movie.
He was in something in 2012 called The Iceman, where he played a character named Mr. Freezy.
Oh yeah, I saw this. It's a mobster movie. It's a history,
yeah, contract killer and family man. Okay. Yeah,
but it's great that he's called the Iceman, right? The opposite of the Human Torch over there.
Right, exactly. Oh, it has your Ray Liotta.
Yeah, that's
playing against type as a mob character.
Mob leader. He's really good in it, though. I gotta say, Ray Liotta tears it up in that movie. That's an interesting movie. You should see it.
On that in the list.
Streaming, right, by the way, so you can watch it.
Oh, I don't even have to wait. I could watch it right now.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
I may do that. What am I going to, how's the sound on it? Like, what am I going to listen to the audio from that movie?
You're going to use some earbuds from tweakedaudio.com.
What?
I know, right? I know. Just like right here, right now, you could go to tweakedaudio.com and say, I need some earbuds to listen to this movie on my iPad because I'm in bed and that's where I'm going to watch it. And I need to hear it well. And Tweaked Audio's got five styles to answer with, five or seven great colors to answer with. They've got a lifetime warranty to answer your damn question with. It's tweakedaudio.com, everybody. Go get a pair for cheap. 33% off with the code STREAM at checkout. That's 33% off with the code STREAM at checkout for tweakedaudio.com. We appreciate their support of the show. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, recommendals, Tom's Tech Time, your emails, and more. What kind of music do we have today?
Well, let's get to a cover going out to Jason from North Carolina. Greetings, Sam and Bugs. In celebration of the movie Real Genius, I'd like to request a cover of Number One by Chaz Jankel. I don't have one. If you can't find one, any cover of a song from Real Genius will do.
That's your inner monologue, isn't it, by the way?
That's right. That's my inner voice. I don't have one. And then his closing is, shut Dido, keep out Dedebled, though.
Okay.
I don't know.
Good advice.
I don't remember that as a line from Real Genius or what the reference is. It's funny, like, in celebration of the movie Real Genius. Yeah. Like, is it celebrating its anniversary or what?
I don't know what's happening there.
What all of a sudden?
Real Genius, the Val Kilmer business,
yeah,
right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Not quite the Doors, but yeah.
Oh my God, I've completely forgot. The Deep Impact to the Armageddon of Weird Science.
Yes, exactly. Oh man, I love it how every movie has its alter ego like that. So good.
Especially if you were in body switch movies in the 80s. Oh my God.
There were so many. Anyway.
All right. So I'm not going to do a cover of that song because I don't have one, but I will do a cover of a song from Real Genius, probably the best known song from Real Genius. This plays at the end when the satellite beams down a stream of hot fire into the Dean's new house that they just built and blows up the popcorn that Val Kilmer has strategically placed inside.
Okay.
And hilarity ensues.
Yeah, it does.
The song that's playing is Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. So let's play a cover of that. This one brought to us from the BBC, the Australian Triple J Like a Version series, which came out in 2011, version 7, disc 7. This is Andy Bull and the cover of Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
All right, here it is. We'll be back in a minute. Stay frosty, everybody.
Wants to rule the world.
Music is your exclamation point. Use it sparingly, but well. Use two strokes to outline the upper lip and one long stroke for the lower. Fill in with up and down strokes so that the lipstick goes with the grain of the skin. Be sure that your lipstick harmonizes with your rouge and your nail polish. And check with any reds in your costume to see that everything is in key.
Where is Harvey Dent?
Durga durga durga. This is the morning stream.
That might be my favorite Fletcher right there.
Durga 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 durga.
Durga durga durga. All right, we're back. Hello, everybody. We're back.
Oh, hi.
Not a damn thing you can
hi,
do.
Hi, everybody.
It. Hello, everybody. Gotta fix that. Why isn't. Now I gotta go over here. Hang on. I gotta add Nicole. Just a second.
Okay. All right.
Hold on. Okay. It's working. We're good.
Okay.
We're gonna call Nicole. We're gonna do recommendals because.
Yep, and I'm gonna pull up my.
That's the rule.
Yes.
That's how we do.
Pull up Netflix, because that's my rule.
Yeah, that's your rule every time. Hey, everybody, check it out. It's Recommentals with Nicole Spagg, who is on the line with us now. Hello, Nicole.
Hello.
How are you?
I guess I should turn on my video, huh?
Well, you can if you want, sure.
Mm-hmm.
That way the people can see you.
I don't know if they want to see me, but...
Oh, of course. But you sound so much better.
You're a lovely human being. Nicole is, you know, it's funny. I didn't tell you about my dream I had about Nicole. You guys want to hear this?
Oh. I do.
Sure.
All right, here's how it went. It's nothing hubba hubba or anything. I promise. Mark, calm down, everybody. No, it's this. I think it says something about how I generally feel toward Nicole, which is kind of a brother sister kind of thing. Mm-hmm. In my dream, she was kidnapped and was getting beat up by somebody.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't tell you who because the dreams are weird. At the time, it all made sense, but now it's kind of fishy. I think one of them had like an ostrich head or something. It's all really weird. But anyway, it really pissed me off. And so me, and I can't tell you who, let's just say one of them was Brian, but they were all faceless people helping me, mm-hmm. Went on a rampage and went and hunted these guys down and shot them all.
Oh.
And rescued Nicole and took her home back home to Arizona.
You didn't happen to watch Kick-Ass 2 before you had that dream, did
no,
you?
No, I did not, ma'am. I have not seen Kick-Ass 2.
I watched it last night and had some weird dreams.
Yeah, that'll happen. Do you guys find you're more dreamy when you watch something like right before bed?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
We have to do comedy chasers.
Oh, good idea. Yeah. Kim does that. Yeah. Kim will we'll watch something kind of hard or dark, yes. And she'll go, yeah. Can we please put on like a Big Bang Theory or something?
Right.
Like, right. Yeah. Right after Walking Dead, we have to watch a, like an episodes or Big Bang Theory or something like that.
I love the term comedy mm-hmm. chaser. That's a great idea.
Oh, still love the Goldbergs, man. That's I'm so glad you suggested that show because it's great.
It's the best. I love it.
I still haven't seen it.
What?
I know. Especially the mom. The mom makes that show.
Oh my God, you would love the Goonie episode.
I'm sure I would. Where is this airing? Where can I see it?
Probably Hulu, I'm sure.
Right? Is it on now? Is it a new show?
Yeah, it's on now. It's on now.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you have over the air, just...
I don't have one of the air.
You have
I did. I had Aereo, but they shut them down.
Oh, did they shut them down?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In Utah and Colorado. Yeah.
Yeah.
Way.
And there,
it
still
feels like they had something against TMS because it was Utah and Colorado.
Yeah, specifically Utah and Colorado. The other ones haven't been shut down, but it's all in, you know, legal hell right now. But I think ultimately it'll end up getting freed up again. But they sent me a letter and said, yeah, we got to shut it down. Here's your refund for the month you hadn't seen yet. And we'll let you know when this goes up again. So,
why don't you have over the air?
Because I'm lazy and don't want to put an antenna on the house.
Well, there you go.
If you want the flat truth, that's mainly it. I really don't know what I'm doing is the thing. And there was always there's a listener of Frog Pants shows, and I don't know where he's at, but he used to say, "Hey, I'm going to make you a custom antenna for your roof." This is like 5 years ago, and I would hear from this guy every 6 months or so. Saying, hey, I'm still on that. I'm still doing this. I'm still going to help you out. And I never came to fruition. So I don't know if he's listening or not, but hey, if that guy's still interested, let me know. If not, I'll go buy one of those dumb on top of your TV ones.
You know, all you need to do you have a satellite? Does the house have like a DirecTV or?
Yeah, it's out there.
Okay. All you need to do
is
attach, like take the satellite dish off and put the antenna on that. That's all you have to do.
It's covered in bird poo. at the moment.
You know your hands wash, right?
Wait. You're telling me I can use the same
mounting system.
Oh, yes. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yes, that's what we did. We had DirecTV. We got rid of the satellite, used that as the mounting.
Wow.
Now we get our over the air. Did you not listen to the how-to episode of Cord Killers?
I might have not heard that one. I might not have.
It's got. I want to go back to that.
It's got our arch nemesis Brian Brushwood on it. I can't listen to it until we win the movie draft.
That's right, exactly. It's going to be a summer of shaking fists.
Some cold shoulders going on between all of us. Yeah. It's weird to think that draft's not over until post Nerdtacular. That weirds me out.
Oh yeah.
Well, anyway, Nicole, it's always good to have you on, and you've got probably three selections of some sort, probably themed. Who knows? And that's why I like the mystery of it all. So, what do you got?
Well, since we started talking about Kick-Ass 2, I wanted to bring up, I was a huge fan of Kick-Ass 1. I really enjoyed that film.
I liked the comic a lot. I didn't like the movie as much, but it was all right. Yeah, it was good.
I didn't like the second one.
That's all I've heard from everyone.
I like that premise. I think the problem was there were just too many. Like, you didn't get really to know anyone.
Mm.
There were so many characters, and I don't know.
I know it's kind of the point of the subject material and the movies, mm-hmm, and the comics and everything, that you're not really supposed to like any of these people. But I hear about two is that you really don't like anyone. Like, nobody's
like Hit Girl. I mean,
she's all right.
I like Hit Girl.
She's okay.
That's about it. I do. They do have a scene in the film, and maybe it's a little giveaway, but whatever, it's been out for a while now.
See, that's a Nicole spoiler alert, everybody. Just be ready.
whatever.
Hold on to your butts. Here we go.
They do a vomiting and pooping scene, and it's just the most CGI thing I've ever seen, and it wasn't even gross.
It was just stupid. Like,
it was just stupid.
Mm. How's Jim Carrey as the army dude, man?
So, thanks for asking that, because that's who our theme will be today.
Oh, nice segue. Yeah. Well done.
Set me up.
All right. Great. Nice job.
I don't know. He was okay.
not a ringing endorsement.
He's the one that's like regrets being in it.
Because the movie came out, what, like a month? What was it? A month after?
Right around Sandy Hook. Yeah, that's right.
And he, it's a very, very violent film, like super violent.
Sure.
And he talked against it because he wasn't proud to be a part of it.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, he's not that funny. And the problem I have most times with Jim Carrey is I just think of him in funny roles.
Sure.
And he tries hard, and he's done a number of films that are not funny. Right. And I'm kind of holding my breath for the funny for him.
Right. Well, what'd you think of
you mean on the movies where he's intentionally not funny, or the movies
like intentionally
where he's
not funny?
Okay.
Sure. And I just, because he's,
like Truman Show, right? Like, there's an example.
Truman Show, he's still funny. That is one of my
The number 23.
That is the one I'm thinking of. The number 23.
Or Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah, that one's not funny.
So you're just going through all the films that I'm going to recommend. Oh.
Liar.
Liar. So the Truman Show, I've said before, is streaming. Dumb and Dumber. I really do. I know some people hate that one.
I love that movie.
I love it. And the second one is coming out in November. Did you know this?
I did know this. Yes. And it's them in it.
Dumb and Dumber 2. And it's both of them.
I wish they were in the summer movie draft. I do too.
That would do so well. Yeah.
I'm a huge fan. And it's not just because the Salt Lake International Airport is featured prominently in it. And we used to have really good tax incentives for movies to be made here. But also just because it's the biggest, stupidest, dumbest fun movie. It's just a big, ridiculous good time. So there's nothing wrong with it.
I think it's awesome that Jeff Daniels is doing the second one as well, because he's like created this character on The Newsroom.
Mm-hmm. Right. He's so hoity lately.
Oh, I can't wait till it comes out. It looks so stupid and wonderful. But just to rewind, if you are interested in Kick-Ass 2, you can pick it up via Hitless. And that's how I picked it up. I don't know. I found myself just doing other things. I mean, the whole the premise is that normal people become superheroes, and it's comic booky, and Christopher Mintz, was it Plass?
Sure. Sure. Why not? That sounds like a
please,
name.
Mintz, please. I don't know. Mm. His character, the Mother Effer.
That's the name of the character?
Well, I'm censoring it for you.
Oh, right. No, I mean, but I mean the literal thing. I didn't know that. I only read the first series. I don't know what the rest of Miller's books are. Is there a Kick-Ass 2 series, Brian? Brian, do you know?
I don't know because I never read those.
Kick-Ass was based off of Kick-Ass. This mm-hmm. movie is based off of the comic book Hit Girl.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
So it's really about the Mindy character and her kind of reintroduction to normal society. And there's a whole part in the movie where she's trying to get in with the popular people or something like that. Mm. And
like high school popular kids or something.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right. Like she's never had to go to school. She's, you know, her dad, Nick Cage, which I have to say, this movie was missing some Nick Cage. I kind of missed him.
He was kind of a revelation in that first movie. Kind of weird, like, whoa, he's actually kind of good in this.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just her navigating high school. And she's, of course, saying, you know, she likes fighting evil people more than going to high school. It's easier. Yeah. So there's that whole storyline, which I did find interesting. It was when Kick-Ass was trying to get back into being a crime fighter, and then you had all these different introduction of characters, like with the Jim Carrey character, and then you had the Christopher guy becoming an evil supervillain, and like him gathering up all his henchmen. And I don't know. It just was.
Is that McLovin? Is who you're talking about?
Yes, okay. McLovin.
Yeah, that kid bugs me. Whatever. Yeah. No judgment. Well,
you will hate him in this film.
He looks like a vegetable. He looks like a stock of some sort of vegetable stock. It's hard to explain. He's always looked like one of those VeggieTales characters as McLovin.
Okay.
Anyway.
But they did set it up at the very end for a third Kick-Ass.
Great.
I don't know. They say that it's in the pipeline. I don't know. I don't think this one did that well.
No, it did not. Critics hated it, and fans mm-hmm. did not like it. So yeah. I think they're in trouble either way on that deal.
I don't know. I wanted to like it, but I just didn't.
All right.
But Dumb and Dumber is streaming free on Amazon Prime, and you can also pick it up on Hitlist if you don't have Amazon Prime. So if you want to get ready for the November release of Dumb and Dumber 2, rewatch it. It's stupid. Fun, Lloyd Christmas, and then his friend Harry.
Christmas. Yeah. No, they didn't get married.
Dern, I think, is the last name.
We're not getting Holly. Holly, what's her name in here? Are we?
Lauren Holly.
Yeah. Lauren Holly. Probably not.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
Where did she? What happened to her?
Well, she's got
talent.
She was in. It's impossible now. There's no way around.
I know, right?
Exactly.
She was in. So she's in one of my favorite movies that no one had seen, and it was the Bruce Lee story. Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. I think it was called. Was it Dragon? Well, anyway, she's the girlfriend in that, and she's amazing in it. Like she was really good for a while and stuff, and then she got with Jim Carrey. They got real married, and then everything went to hell after that. So I don't know what happened to her.
It does seem like whoever Jim Carrey marries or is in a relationship with, you really don't hear from her much. Bridget Jones girl after and Irene.
Zellweger, yeah.
Zellweger.
Oh, were they together? I didn't know that.
Mm, yeah, for a while.
Yeah, maybe he's putting all their bodies in like a basement burial ground. Right.
What about Jenny McCarthy, though? She kind of...
Oh, she's on The View now.
She's on The View, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, you don't like her?
No.
I don't either. You should not like her now for her and her freaking diatribes about people not getting vaccinated.
Yep. Well,
she is literally killing people when she does
there's
that.
There's a website that says Jenny McCarthy's, you know, body count or death count. There's like a death count website.
Here's the thing, though. She's gone on and done interviews about that thing getting completely taken out of context and blown out of proportion. She's gone on the record and said, no, I believe in vaccinations, but there are certain ones that are done that are not... that are either unnecessary or could be given another way.
I have heard her straight up. No, there's no context to her getting up and
really?
Going. Really? Oh, yeah. There is countless, like, you just YouTube it.
There's a whole documentary with featuring her and Jim Carrey protesting and, like, yeah.
Okay. All right.
F her.
It's bad. It's bad.
Anyway, I just realized you're going to really like this, Scott. Dumb and Dumber 2, by the way, is just T-O. It's Dumb and Dumber T-O. Oh, and Jennifer Lawrence is going to be in that.
Oh, sweet. Her goal to be in everything is coming to fruition.
She'll be in, I thought you liked her.
I love her. Are you kidding? Okay. She's amazing, but she's in everything now. Like, that's just the rule, right? You got to be in all things, always, forever?
Maybe.
Yeah.
As I was doing my research, there was a film that came up that I had no idea Jim Carrey was in.
Hmm.
The Deadpool with Clint Eastwood.
What? Really?
Wow.
Yes.
No, this isn't this isn't Deadpool, the comic book character, right? This is the Deadpool.
The Deadpool.
This was a Dirty Harry movie, yeah.
Yes, all right. Dirty Harry movie that came out in like the late 80s, I think it was.
88.
The Deadpool. And it also had Liam Neeson.
That's right.
They were like co-stars or something. Weird. Like, they weren't.
Liam Neeson was in there, Patricia Clarkson, and Liam Neeson had a very special set of skills in that movie. I never saw this one. This was too late.
I remember
for me.
Watching this as a kid. Mm. I don't remember a lot from it, but I do remember watching it. It's funny. It's a cop movie, you know, Dirty Harry. I'm watching it as a kid. But,
Jim Carrey in Deadpool. I'm going to just see if there's a photo of him because he's got to be. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. That's weird. I'm going to send a photo around. He played some junkie looking dude. I kind of remember something about this. Anyway, it's in the chat now, everybody, if you want to take a look. There's Jim Carrey in the Deadpool.
Oh, wow.
Looking pretty gnarly.
Yep.
Anyway. All right. The Deadpool, then.
Both in the drug-induced description and just in the probably smells description.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Sweet burns.
Yeah.
It's got some nice burns.
And then you mentioned two other films. The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, 2004. I really, really like that movie because it's weird and trippy, but that's how relationships are, you know, at times, especially if they don't pan out.
Yeah.
And it's about that kind of, I mean, the whole premise of the movie is he's trying to forget this girl that just is, he's obsessed with, and they broke up, and all he's remembering is the good. And he goes through this process, and it stars people like Elijah Wood, Kirsten Dunst, really awesome cast. You had Kate Winslet as the girlfriend, and they do this process where they get into your mind and they erase that person from your life, from your memory, and thus your life too. Because there's things in the outside world, because you think, oh, how would I, forget them if there's reminders of them in real life and people talking about them, and they like take care of it all. And it's about this journey and is through Jim Carrey's mind and how he viewed her and how he only thought of the good things, but there was a lot of bad stuff, and it was coming to terms with that. And I just think it's a wonderfully done movie. And if you haven't had a chance to see it, you can pick it up on Hitlist, and you can also, if you have Xfinity, you can watch it streaming there too.
Yeah. And I was going to say, if you think Kirsten Dunst is nothing but weird teeth and Spider-Man movies, you're wrong. She's really good in this.
She is really good in this. And it's the director is Michael Gondry, or Michel Gondry, who did so many cool music videos in the 90s and 2000s. Like, if you saw Everlong by the Foo Fighters and all these trippy, there's a great Kylie Minogue one. Where she walks around the same street several times, and every time it keeps adding new stuff to the street. It's really, really cool, called Come Into My World. If you like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, go watch that video. It's Kylie Minogue's Come Into My World, and it's amazing. You'll blow it up big screen, and you'll see just some amazing, amazing, clever camera trickery.
That's cool.
I like how they classify this as a romantic science fiction thriller. Really? I mean, it kind of is.
It kind of defies description, so those things on their surface don't work very well. But if you think about it is those things.
Yeah,
I would agree with two-thirds of that. I wouldn't know if I would call it a thriller, though. It's psychological drama, I think, more than a thriller. Because, I mean, there's no...
I don't know, at the end...
Clock counting down kind of thing.
But you're wrong. There is a clock counting now.
Well, you mean them erasing, like him saving all these memories before they...
Yeah, trying to find all of the memories in his head of her, and him kind of wishing he didn't go through that process.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just,
it's, really
it's
good,
definitely a weird rom-com. Like, this is the kind of rom-com I like.
Yeah. Twisted and weird, man.
Yeah, that's kind of what I did.
Nicole is twisted and weird.
yeah.
All right.
Oh, Mark Ruffalo is in it,
no,
too.
No, I love Mark Ruffalo. The Hulk. I kind of have a, I got a man crush on Ruffalo. Oh, yeah. I watched, not Zydeco, Zodiac. Zodiac, which is a David Fincher deal about the Zodiac killings in the 70s. And,
didn't that have like Jake Gyllenhaal in it?
Yes,
too?
It did. And he's quite good in it as well. Ruffalo's the man. I just could watch him do whatever he wants. He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that brain tumor he had turned out to be removable, because we need him. We need him in movies. He had a bad brain tumor.
I didn't realize that.
A few years ago, yeah. There's a big, long thing on Wikipedia about it. But he just is, I find him just infinitely interesting to stare at.
Did you like him in 13 to 30?
I did. He was the reason. He's the reason I liked that movie. Like everything, I think that may have been the first thing I'd seen him in. But yeah, I've never not liked Ruffalo. He's a great Hulk as well. Like, just, he's just great. There's something about him. I feel like I could trust that dude.
I'm a little man crush.
Yeah, a little man crush on him. I don't know why. What's going on there?
All right.
That's how I used to feel about Costner. Still do. I don't care. I don't care what people say. I like Costner. All right. Is that three? That's three.
Yep, that's three.
All right. Fantastic work. Always good stuff. Do check those things out. And make sure you check out Nicole. She's on various shows like Nerd Parents, Ladies of Elite, Final Score, Nicole Spag on Twitter. Anything I'm missing?
The Wood Whisperer.
Oh, The Wood Whisperer. Don't forget about that. That's good
stuff.
I do
that too.
Yeah. There's wood. There's whispering.
Did you see the skit at the end of the latest poker chip tray?
No, but
video?
I heard about it. I need to watch it. I also want that poker chip tray. Something fierce.
It's titled "Playing Poker with a Toddler." How you play poker with a toddler?
Oh, with Mateo, I assume.
Yes, of course.
Nice. All right. Well, have a fantastic week, Nicole.
You too.
We'll see you later this week for more things that we do together.
Bye, guys.
See ya. Hang it up. Okay. Bye, guys. That's the name of my superhero team, the Bye Guys. Wait a minute. Scratch that.
What?
Scratch that. Okay. We're going to add someone to the call now by the name of Ace Detect. You might be familiar with him.
I think I heard from him last night.
Did you? Oh, weird. Oh, it's working. Is it working? Yeah, it's working. Yeah, you heard from him yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think it's ringing in. No, now it is. I don't know what's happening, but we'll get him on the line. Let's play his little theme, because he has an intro.
Yeah,
he sure does. Hey, shut up now. Hold on. Here's this.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
I've never told a guest to shut up before.
You be quiet over there.
You quiet, you. Tom Merritt, everybody, the Ace Detect of the internet, is here with us now. Hi, Tom.
Hi. That used to be Extra Life.
That's right. Not that anymore. Well, I am that in some ways, in some places. In
Coverville.
He'll
I'm
always
still
be that.
He'll always be Extra Life to me, Scott.
That's right. I know. And you can still go there if you want. It'll just be a colossal waste of your time. Hey, Tom Mayer, we haven't seen you in a whole 8 to 10 hours or something like that.
I know. How are you feeling day after?
We talked about earlier. We're feeling a little middle of the road on the draft.
You didn't like Mitsula's odds. I saw that.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, yeah. It just gave me an opportunity to quote Han Solo, really. Yeah.
Any chance you get.
All right, how do you feel about that little sniping maneuver? And, well, you probably feel great about it because it...
You got the deal.
You got the deal. It was something that was going for $26.
It was...
You had the high bid on it.
What was it?
Was it Captain America? Did you guys end up with Captain America?
We did. Okay. And I was as shocked as everyone else that because I was like... I was in that chat room and I was just like... Oh yeah, we should that's about still where we would want to pay for that. So I put in my bid and it was like the bid's over. I'm like, it's over.
Yeah.
I was ready to go for a few more minutes.
Yeah. And then what's his name put in 38, but he put I bid.
instead of exclamation point.
And he was joking. This was Schwood. And he was kidding around. But we bought it.
Oh, that was on X-Men.
Was it X-Men? Okay.
Yeah.
But one of those.
Something that we would have gone for had they not done that. And I thought, oh, that just put it out of our range. And
then it went for like 26, 25 bucks or something.
That was X-Men that went for 26, right.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, what? How did this? So I don't know if that's fair game, if that's against the rules. Like, I feel like there needs to be a protest on that particular.
The chat room bidding was a great idea because it moved things along a lot faster. Yeah. You know, we didn't get bogged down with wait, who said what?
Yeah.
But it did lead to more uncertainty about what was, you know, like before there was no uncertainty that someone had made a bid because you could kind of yell until they heard you. And
And we kind of had that arbitrary going once, going twice thing, which wasn't really tied to a clock. I actually really like that part of it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way to go for next year now that we've kind of worked the bugs out.
I agree. But, man, putting iBid 38 in there just threw us for a freaking loop. Yeah, if that's totally if that's a fair move, and Brian has said it, he believes it is. Brian Ibid,
I believe it is. It's a completely legal fake out.
Then that'll
his
be...
last name is iBid, yeah. Brian Ibid.
So next year...
So I do have a call. I do have a tie to this, yes.
So next movie draft, just expect a little spam from old Scott Johnson here. A little bit of iBid tomfoolery since it's free...
But,
you know.
Yeah, it's part of getting used to learning the tool is like you only look at the highlighted words, not the not the other words.
All right.
And you know, I gotta say that did help us lock down that coveted James Brown documentary.
Get on up, yeah. Everybody had their eye on that, and we walked
like
away
a
with
money
it.
Machine. Uh-huh. Get on up, see, it's gonna bring in billions.
That's right, like a sex machine, or something. Anyway, hey, it's Tom Merritt, Tech Times. Time to talk about tech.
Oh, right.
I know they're, you know, the last 3 days, Twitter should change their name to Let's Talk About Facebook Buying Oculus Rift. Is that what you brought today, or are we talking about something
else? I mean, really, can we avoid it?
No, I think we should talk
about it. There's nothing else. There's nothing else big happening today. Azure, formerly named Windows Azure, is going to China. Oh. There's your options.
Yeah, I think I go with the Oculus getting bought by Facebook story.
Yeah, Oculus getting bought by Facebook is very interesting, too, because they're spending $400 million in cash. Another, and I can't remember the stock numbers. The rest of it is some stock that they get now, and then $300 million. So I guess that's another $300 million in stock. And then $300 million, which is called an earnout, that they only get if the company makes enough money to make it worth it.
Right.
I'm not sure exactly how that part of it works, but it all ends up being $2
billion. $2 billion.
So I did my math. Yeah. But it's only $400 million in cash. The rest of it's kind of made up money.
Right.
In a way.
Yeah. It's all worth stuff, I guess. If you think Facebook stock is worth something, then I guess that stuff's good.
Right. And it probably will be.
Yeah. At some point.
To me, I mean, Zuckerberg went on a conference call with investors and he, in the press release, said a lot about we're going to let Oculus continue to focus on gaming. We think that's the right thing for them to do. But down the road, we're betting on the future that this becomes the communication platform for people. And, you know, that's what Facebook does. We're all about communication and innovation. I think what's going on when you look at WhatsApp, when you look at Instagram, when you look at now Oculus, Mark Zuckerberg's creating a diverse company that won't get caught relying just on one social network. He's planning for the potential demise of Facebook, not like going broke and going out of business, but becoming a MySpace where it declines in importance. He's not counting on that happening, but he's planning against it. We'll have other things to keep people interested.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And I actually feel like this is even more, if there's a better analog, it's Microsoft. It's them not wanting to get to a place where they are such a leader in one very strong area, and then they're caught unawares by new trends, new technologies, changes in the market in similar ways that Microsoft has. I mean, mobile snuck up on them and creamed them, and they thought they were in it, but they weren't. And I think that that's the motivation behind this. If you can dig through all the just chronic negativity of the announcement, I mean, because I'm kind of like, money is money, and I don't know who, you know, having them own them versus somebody else, I don't know if one's worse or one's better, but having the entire thing explode and blow up because people don't like privacy settings on Facebook, I think they're missing the bigger picture, you know? Like,
yeah.
And I agree with you 100%. I'm sure that's what they're doing. They're just diversifying.
And they want to make sure that they're on that next platform. They're on that next mobile because Facebook has been running hard to catch up on mobile as well. And I think they're not going to let that happen again.
Yeah.
And Oculus is one of their insurance policies against that as well. They feel like, well, one of the platforms people will be using after mobile will likely be some kind of augmented reality, virtual reality. And now we have one of the leaders in that space. So, you know, we're good. We're going to be able to do that. It is unsettling. And of course, Notch from Minecraft on Twitter said immediately, yeah, I was doing a deal with Minecraft for Oculus VR, but I canceled it.
Yeah.
Because I don't like those guys. Well, what's this? Is he going to go to Sony and they're better? I don't, you know, that seems a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction, but I have a feeling that Oculus, just like WhatsApp, is going to face some resistance with people for a while because they just don't trust Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a PR. There's going to be some PR stuff. I wonder how much that vocal group is or how many people that really represents, if it's just this sort of fringe Twitter frontline group and after that no one cares, or it's interesting to shareholders, or maybe, you know, we all have the wrong take on it. I haven't really formed an opinion yet, which is funny because usually this sort of stuff seems kind
of
black.
Back it on Kickstarter?
Well, you see something like, I didn't, but here, so I have something to say about that too. Mm-hmm. Well, so let me say this. When I heard about Instagram getting bought by Facebook, I could actually have tangible fears about that, about the app changing or being integrated or whatever and being Facebookified, because that's in the wheelhouse of Facebook. It's a internet sharing service. It's photos. It's likes. It's back and forth between people replying and their accounts and everything. I mean, it was very conceivable that could have gone and become a Facebook photo app, and they could have changed it and kind of ruined the experience for me. They didn't, thank goodness. But that was a real.
Well, this week is the first change in that they're not using Foursquare as their location database. They're going to try using their own internal location database coming out of Facebook,
which is a sensible thing to do. I mean, that makes sense. You're invested in that. Why not?
As long as the database isn't crappy, like when Apple switched to Apple Maps.
Yeah, that's a good point. If it sucks, then people will know. But. In the end, they didn't do too much there. But the fear was a fear that seemed like a reasonable fear to have about changing an app that you really liked or had invested in. Now, you bring in Oculus, it's not the same kind of fears. Because in a weird way, it's like, I said this on Twitter, it's like Coke buying Vaseline. It's like, well, what's the advantage here? And you have to think a little bit deeper and long term. And that's why I think you're right about the long term. This isn't about, you know, tomorrow or the next day or whatever. But let me get to the Kickstarter thing. This is the big thing with that. So Notch, while I agree with a lot of the things and sentiments he said, him saying, I didn't invest or I didn't pitch in with 10K because he did the 10K level to meet with them and then hang out with, what's his name? From id Software, John Carmack.
Yeah.
He spent 10K to do that. He says, I didn't pitch in 10K to help seed a company and prep it for Facebook to buy it out. In other words, he assigned a whole bunch of expectation to Kickstarter that doesn't exist, and I think that's a problem. I think it's a problem because a lot of people just buy it and go, preach on, brother, freaking Minecraft rules, woo, right? And they get all behind this thing. And I think Minecraft's great, and I think Notch is a freaking genius. But Notch making it sound like when you back a Kickstarter, regardless of size, if it's $20, if it's $10,000, if you are in there thinking that you are doing a thing that makes you an investor and therefore deserve dividends on the other end when something's sold off or something like that, then you are smoking the special brand of crack, because that is not what Kickstarter is or does.
I backed that brand of crack, actually, on Kickstarter.
I did, too. That's
it didn't ever come out.
It didn't come out, I know, right? Yeah. We'll never know that crack. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I feel like, what's it like? It's like, I mean, back anything. If Pebble gets bought by the government, are we all to expect a big payout?
This is Kickstarter's growing pains, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the original idea of Kickstarter is somebody who can't get money, you know, from venture capitalists or elsewhere, goes to the audience and says, will you give me money? Mm-hmm. I can't give you a stake in the company, but if you make this happen, the product will happen. So it's a little bit of, you know, the value for value model, right? I'll give you the product if you help make it possible.
Right.
And so people who believe do that, right?
Right.
And that's supposed to be the end of it, right? Like, we gave you money, Oculus. You gave us prototype headsets or maybe a t-shirt. And then you go off into the world. Well, there's this other layer that people have put on top of that proposition of, and therefore, these are the people who are going to fight against the system. Or these are the people who couldn't get the money any other way. When Oculus, or let's say Veronica Mars, right? There was a little bit of this discussion around that. When they then take that Kickstarter money, take their product, which they've made, and they've fulfilled all their obligations under the Kickstarter model, go to the bigger company. In Veronica Mars' case, it's Warner Brothers. In Oculus's case, it's now Facebook, and get more money and more help. Then the Kickstarter audience says, well, wait a minute. We wanted to see the product made, but now you've taken that product and you've made a bunch of money. Maybe you could have made that money without us, and we wouldn't have had to give you the money in the first place. With Veronica Mars, they had a very good answer to that, to say, look, yes, that's true. We got Warner Brothers on board for distribution, but they never would have done it if we hadn't raised the millions of dollars on Kickstarter to convince them.
Sure.
So you were essential. And a lot of people say, okay, I guess that makes sense. Mm. With, you know, we wouldn't see the movie otherwise. With Oculus, it seems a little muddier. Like, well, come on, guys. You don't think some venture capitalist would have given you the money to launch the Oculus? And now you guys are raking in a bunch of stock and cash out of Facebook for this? Like, it feels a little more like you got duped.
I will give them that it can feel that way, but it was never that way. Like, you know what the terms are, you know what you're getting for your money. It's a value for value proposition. If you're going to spend $200 and get a pre-release dev kit version of that thing, you paid for what you got, and you got what you paid for. Like, I don't understand how people are seeing so much more into it. Like, now suddenly Oculus is going to turn around and go, everybody who backed the Kickstarter is going to get 25% more money. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me that people would be thinking of it this way. I think they fundamentally don't understand what Kickstarter is.
I totally see what you're saying, but it also makes sense that people felt like, well, wait a minute, I thought I was backing on Kickstarter for things that couldn't get the money. Like, I thought that was the idea. I trusted that if you went to Kickstarter, it meant you didn't have another option.
Right.
And now you guys are all cashing in. So now people have to, now we've learned that as an internet, that not everything on Kickstarter is just going to be like some solitary venture fighting the power for the rest of its life. There's always that risk that they could make it big. Is that so bad?
Yeah, it's not.
You know,
bad.
I mean, if you really believe in the company, you want them to do well.
Sure.
But it's just kind of goes against the grain of that independent spirit when you sell out for $2 billion to Facebook. So you got to keep in mind that that is a possible knock-on effect of whatever it is you're funding.
Yeah, but it's just so hypocritical. Every single one of those users, if they were Oculus, would sell it for $2 billion to freaking Facebook. Not one of them would go, you know, I know that's a lot of money, and it's ultimately what we need to really juice this thing and get it to where we want it, but I really feel for that guy that spent $20 on Kickstarter. I think we're not going to do the deal for him.
Right. I don't think this is necessary. What I'm about to say is not necessary. What I'm about to say is not going to happen.
Yeah.
But PR coup would be to go to your Kickstarter backers and give them a fraction of the money.
That'd it'd be amazing.
A legal nightmare to figure out how to do it.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
But wow, would the Kickstarter people go, well, shit, man, they actually did it. Look at that.
Yeah. Yes. All of that is true. And you're right about the legal nightmare, and that's why it won't happen. But you're right. And I always like those kinds of gestures. And don't get me wrong here. I think that you're right about it feeling wrong. It does. It feels like, well, what about us? We got you there. What's going on now? I get that natural human emotion. I just think that you have to go into Kickstarter knowing, like, full well, that if you're going to back somebody's comic book, let's say they back 10 State, all right? And then you...
Yeah, why don't they do that?
Let's say they back 10 State like they did in the first Kickstarter, and that went well, and you guys did what you did and fulfilled your stuff. And let's say Marvel swooped in, a child company of Disney, and says, we're going to buy that out. We're going to own all the rights to 10 State. We're going to buy Tom Merritt. We're going to buy Len Peralta. We own this shit now. This is ours. And we're going to pump $500 million into this, and they are going to be the two richest creators in the history of the world. All right? You can't, Kickstarter people they can't expect you to come back and go, hey, you guys are, oh, actually, you know what? You guys probably would figure out a way to do it, but,
well, yeah.
But you know what I mean?
Well, maybe not.
The expectation should not be there. If somebody breaks through and does that anyway, well, that's another issue, and that's great and hot boogers on them. But for the rest of us, the hot boogers thing. I apologize. It doesn't have any connection to anything.
No one deserves hot boogers.
Nobody does. Cold boogers all around. But the point is that it just that expectation really struck me as weird the last couple of days. And this idea that it should be a certain way when there's nothing anywhere in any of these Kickstarters, especially the Oculus one, that says anything about anything. They just are now feeling this remorse because they went and sold to the man and they get nothing for it. I get the emotion. I don't get the expectation.
Jester in the chat room put it really well, the other side of this, right? He says, part of the problem is many of us are tired of companies selling out instead of staying in it for the long haul and building something themselves. It seems like every tech company just sells out for the dollars. I know that if you had the Oculus folks in the room and Jester told that, they'd say, we're not selling out. We're actually able to do our product better and faster now that we have the resources of Facebook, not just its money, but its engineers and its infrastructure and all in its leverage. That's going to help us do this product better.
Right.
If we stayed in it for the long haul, it would just be spinning our wheels and taking a hard road for no good reason.
Right. Right. Other than some altruistic motive, yeah, that, you know, only exists in movies.
To that I would say is, yes, but did you have to go to Facebook?
Right.
Right. And I think that's where I think if Oculus Rift goes and sells to, I don't know, Mark Shuttleworth, right?
All right.
Everybody's celebrating. They're like, oh, well, they got a payday, but that's great. We love Ubuntu.
Or Valve. What if Valve did it? Same thing.
They go to Valve, you know? Same sort of thing. Maybe not quite as totally altruistic, but we love Valve and we love what they're doing. And what a great partnership.
Yeah.
Right? They went to Facebook, and Facebook's unpopular with, you know, a slice of the internet because of some of the things they've done, especially privacy-wise and policy-wise, and some of their attitude. So, yeah, that's really what it boils down.
But also, it extends upwards. So this idea that they need to stay in it, to win it, to be independent and all that, and to be competitive in the future, do it on your own. Don't sell out to the man. Well, then what does Facebook do? Their business is to stay in it, to win it, to go for the long haul, to try to win in the end. How do they do that at their level, at their size? They buy these other technologies to help shore up their base. It's the same argument, and they're doing it. You can't apply it to one and not the other. So this isn't calling out chat room guy, and I'm not calling out other people who don't like Facebook. There's a lot about Facebook I can't freaking stand. I just think it's so easy to go, meh, Facebook, meh. But if we all found out that John Carmack was going to personally buy it out for $2 billion of his own money, we'd all be celebrating in the streets. What's the difference?
I like John Carmack's response of, I'm still coding today. Just so you know, I didn't, you know, he's throw a cash party.
Or, yeah, he's
rolling around on my bed full of money.
Money here, right?
Nobody puts John Carmack in the corner, so he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Anyway, I find the argument about the whole thing more fascinating than the actual thing, because it took off like crazy, and I felt like Twitter was going to buckle under the weight of it yesterday. It was such a trending mess. But I always wonder, you got to wonder, Tom, how do you think, got to be a boardroom full of Sony execs who are fresh off their announcement of Project Morpheus. Reviews for that on the floor at GDC were good. People were like, yeah, this is pretty much on par with what Oculus is doing. That's good news. Good, true competition here. Mainstream console market, blah, blah. We talked about that last week. How do you think they interpret this? Not just the PR, but the actual, like, purchase. It's easy to think they're just sitting around like us going, eh, Facebook sucks. This is the biggest mistake ever. This is great. But that's not what they're doing.
No, here's my impression of a Sony guy hearing this news in their boardroom. Okay. Like, all right, now we have to fight the Facebook machine in this.
Not
we
just a still, little indie.
You know, it doesn't change anything, but it's just going to be a little more resistance wind out there for us to move against.
Sure. And that's what's interesting to me is how any of this, if this greater profile, more money injected, more access to resources makes a more competitive environment for VR, we are all going to win at the end of this thing. So everyone relax, okay? It's actually a good thing. It's not like your uncle doesn't work at Oculus, okay? It's not
well,
a big
except
deal.
For the guy out there who's
well, his uncle. Yeah, that's true. They got
congratulations to you and your uncle.
Yeah, you guys are going to have a hell of a vacation. All right. Well, it's always fun to talk about these things, and more of these sorts of things get talked about on the Daily Tech News Show. What can people do to see that and hear that?
Well, you can watch it live at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 1:30 p.m. Pacific at DiamondClub.tv every day. You can also go to thedailytechnewsshow.com to get the audio podcast. There's some unofficial video feeds out there that fans have put together too, where they grab the videos after the fact and put them out. We're focusing mostly on just making the audio show good for right now. And we've got Andy Anatko from the Chicago Sun-Times on the show today.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, he's the best.
I used to read his things at the end of Macworld, the last page of Macworld.
Loved his style.
Yeah.
Really good.
Oh, I can't wait to watch that.
He's also a fan of web comics, and I respect that in a guy who likes web comics.
Oh, he is a geek's geek.
Yeah, for sure.
No.
And he wears a funny hat.
I always fear getting into comic book conversations with Andy because his vast knowledge just puts me to shame every time.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. Well, that's great. Great guests all the time on that show. Ace Detect on Twitter. We got Current Geek this weekend. I can now confirm Mike Schramm will be there. And so will... Mark's Bag is our other guest. I forgot.
I've been waiting for Mark's Bag.
The other Spag will be there. Yeah, very excited about having
him. So is Ice Storm coming up with woodworking questions?
He totally is, dude. I told him it should all be...
kind of wood is my coffee table made out of?
Wait, who's the guy who was on PBS for a long time and had a really popular...
Oh, right.
That guy.
This old house guy?
Yeah, I should do this old house trivia. That'd be awesome. Or the Yankee Workshop or whatever.
Yankee Workshop. Totally.
It's good stuff. Tom Merritt, everybody. Thanks, man. And we'll see you next time.
Adios.
Bye now. Good luck on that. Good luck on the movie draft. Sucker.
They don't need luck.
They got all they need.
They got temples.
You want to do some emails? Let's do some emails.
Yeah, I love emails.
They're brought to you by.
Are they brought to us by something? Nerdtacular.com. Tickets are going fast. Details at Nerd. I actually said that before I read it because I knew that's. Yeah, so tickets are going fast. Details at nerdtacular.com.
Yeah, go get your tickets. And things are ramping up. Things are getting exciting. The Double Clicks performing. The Andrew Allen Trio will be there for the concert bits. We got panels all day, both days, from all kinds of people you love. We got the Gaming Room.
Comic Book Track. Comic Book Track.
Well, comic books will be involved somehow, but you'll have some surprises from me no one even knows about, not even you.
Ooh.
The Frogpants All-Stars.
Yeah? Oh, yeah? Well, there's surprises for me, too, that you don't know about.
Well, shite.
So there.
Okay, take that. Take that in the way it was meant. All right, what are we doing now? What are we doing? Oh, yeah, emails.
Yes.
Chris wrote in, heir to the Captain America fortune. In response to Brian's query about whether or not God refers to himself as God in the Bible, I'd like to bring up the first commandment. Quote, I am the Lord your God, and you shall have no other gods before me. Chris makes a good point.
And you know what? I agree with that. And somebody also brought that up in the chat room. But he's not, you know, he's describing himself as your God.
Yeah.
Right? He's not saying... he's not saying, hey, when you refer to me, call me God.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. There's no equivalence of that. So
that's what we're
not saying it in Noah. Yes.
Yeah.
Stand behind that it doesn't need. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be said.
It's a very interesting perspective on that you don't think about, you know, and that's all we were saying. So we're not saying there's no references at all to voice out of
Jim
heaven.
Call himself. Sure. Right. Exactly.
We get it.
But thank you, Chris, for bringing that up.
So many emails about this issue and about about Noah, specifically the Noah conversation we had about the Noah movie. Yeah. And I got this one, a very thoughtful back and forth with a guy, and I really appreciate him and everybody who's come back and forth with it and been willing to sort of discuss the issues. But one of them came to me and it really kind of settled with me in an interesting way. And I'll just say this. So I grew up in a Christian home, Christian values are taught. We weren't, you know, like what you would call a fundamentalist in any sort of way. But, you know, go to church, do your stuff, be nice, help other people. You know, that was kind of the mode.
Take the good things that you,
Positive
aspects you learned from that.
My dad was big on that. He was always like, yeah, we're not going to worry so much about what happens after death. We're not going to worry so much about the all these deep ideas that nobody really, you know, can have any proof for. He goes, the only thing I have proof for is if you're nice to somebody else, then good things happen. So that was kind of his overall mantra. And that was the kind of thing we did growing up. So I've carried that through with my kids. We do the same thing. They go to youth nights and they go to church and we do our stuff, right? So we're in it to win it. And it's all about help and charity and all that. That's the goal. I don't force this down anybody's throat. It's just kind of my philosophy on life. Try to be nice and do nice things. That's really it. And if you struggle with that, well, try to work toward being better at it. That's the whole spiel. So what's never sat with me, though, Brian, very well at all, is specifically, and I'll just focus on this one, the story of Noah, because I think it's either bunk or it was told by people who had such a limited view of what the world was that it seemed like the world was flooded and it seemed like they had every animal 2x2. But here's my theory. I think what happened, there is a historical account there somewhere, and it's probably this. Noah and his people knew the world to be about a 50-mile square radius. That's about all they knew. They couldn't go much further than that. They don't know what's going on in the freaking Russia or any other parts of the world. They just think it's this little spot somewhere in the Mediterranean, and it's all it ever was. And a giant flood came. Forget about all the religion. Let's just talk about the flood that came.
Sure.
Him building a boat probably wasn't. I mean, we kind of know how big it was supposed to be, but then again, who knows? Translations and all that stuff down the years. Who knows what that Bible account is? But every animal 2x2 could have been two goats, the cattle he had, the dogs they had on the farm, and that's it. Those are all the fowl and the animals of the world to them, because it's not physically possible to have every species and subspecies of every creature ever made on the same damn boat. It's just not. So, you know, I always have struggled with it, and that's just the way it is. Well, I'm having this conversation with somebody via email, and he's being very thoughtful about all this stuff. And I said to him what I just said to you. Yeah, I grew up and, you know, this stuff, and yeah, whatever. But I just can't buy the Noah story for all these reasons, scientific reasons, everything else. I'm a pretty reasonable guy, and that stuff just doesn't reason with me. So he wrote back and said, yes, that stuff does sound crazy, but then so does healing the sick, raising the dead, healing the blind. But that all happened too. And after that conversation, I realized, and this is, again, this is not a criticism of him. He's believing what he wants to believe. But it just hit me and went, oh, well, I can't have.
Yes, we.
We are at an impasse, because it doesn't matter what I say then. Because if you say that everything, if all of that is possible.
We can't come together on the very foundation that we'd be able to have a discourse from moving forward.
Right.
Because that foundation itself. We can't agree on.
No, because you've not let it. There's no. You haven't let any room for outs. There's no windows in your building.
There's no common denominator that we can start from to where we can say, okay, I take this direction. You take that direction.
Right.
Your paths don't even cross.
Right. I was taught and raised to question everything. It's just the way it is with me. So I do. And when I do, that's how you learn. That's how we figure stuff out. And this thing just didn't sit with me. So it got me to thinking that. This whole conversation back and forth, all these people about all this Noah stuff. The one thing that I wish was everybody's foundation, regardless of the extremes of their beliefs or the limitations of their beliefs, I wish the one piece of common ground we all had was that everybody gets to have their own. That should be chief among them. So in other words, I need to be cool with him having his belief system, even if it's a very closed, unwilling to budge system. I need to be able to give him that. Mm-hmm. And he needs to be able to give me mine, which is a more open approach to things. Right. If he can give me mine and I can give him his, everybody's better off. Because that is the one place he can let happen. So instead of saying, well, I believe everything in the Bible is absolutely literal and that's just the way it is. And that means, because it's all literal, that gay people are all going to hell and I have to save them. If that is the core of your belief and you do not have any room for this idea that that guy gets to have the same agency and same ability to make his own choices about his own beliefs. If you're not giving him that, that's where this is all broken.
That's where it falls apart.
Have it on your own. Go ahead and have it. Have it with you and those you have stewardship over, your kids, whatever. Be a good parent.
But you gotta
teach
believe
them what you
that
want.
The other people have their should be should have a right to their beliefs as well.
Yes, and that sounds simple, but so many people won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in a position of majority, especially in some cases, you are. It is oppressive to have other people have to deal with your schmear. You have to be able to back off and go. If I get to choose what I think and believe, and act and behave and everything else, if I get that, then you have to get that too. That has to be. And I usually am not one to talk in absolutes. This is the one absolute I believe in more than any other, and that is that. I have to let Brian Ibbett act the way he wants. He has to believe whatever nonsense he wants to believe in.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how much that contrasts with maybe what I believe. I mean, you and I are bad examples. We agree on everything, or a lot of things.
Well, a lot of things.
Most things.
You did the Waterworld thing. We'll never see eye to eye on Waterworld.
dude, he peed on a tree and drank it. It was fantastic.
I will agree with you on that. He did do that.
Some people always correct me. He peed on some machine, not a tree, but still. I still say it was a tree.
Wasn't the machine hooked up to it? Oh, no, I guess you're right.
He had a little tree or something.
But then he put some of the water that came from that machine on the tree.
Oh, right. His only valuable tree, too.
He drank some, then he...
Yes. Not nearly as valuable as paper, as we learned later, but... whatever.
Paper. Oh, we get it easy, paper.
I love that movie. Anyway, I think that's all that I really, that really applies to any argument you guys out there ever want to have with me. I want you to be able to do that, and I want you to be able to let me do that. And it's okay for us to argue the points of it, and we've had a lot of that kind of good, productive back and forth with people. And I don't call this guy out for any other reason other than it just reminded me of this conversation. But he was great. He was great. He's been super cool on email, and this isn't about, this isn't me calling him out or anything like that. I just think it's important that, in fact, he's emblematic of that. He's got these ideas, and I've got my ideas. We have to respect each other's freedom to have those ideas. You just have to. And you can't condemn somebody else because theirs doesn't jive with you. There are people who think the Bible's a big made-up piece of garbage. You have to go ahead and let them do that.
Yeah, and the worst thing that could happen is that maybe it helps you discover a little bit more about the issue that makes you kind of see a second side of it that maybe is different from your own. Like, a good example happened earlier with the whole Jenny McCarthy thing, you know, the vaccination thing. I'm going to go look up a little bit more of that because what I heard from the media and what other people were saying, there are some differing things there, and I want to go learn more about it and figure out, all right, what side do I stand on?
Right.
On the whole thing?
And then that way you can decide before you throw away that old Playboy issue you've been hanging on to for these years.
And still, and in the process, you know, if I do a Google image search with safe search off, you know, what's the harm?
All right. I think I've made sense.
So. I think you have. Yes.
I hope so. I mean, it's really just, it's that simple to me. Just, it's okay if you believe all that stuff. Just don't assume that everyone else should. Because there, but by the way, it's all about interpretation. I never read a thing in the Bible that ever told me to give everyone else shit.
It's in one of those. It's in the lost director's cut.
The director's cut. The scrolls they found.
Lost season.
In there it says, troll everybody. Be rude. Judge them.
Thou shalt put the most offensive things into YouTube comments.
Passive aggressive hashtags. Here's an email from Kenneth. It says, just in case no one has shared this with you yet, Glenn Beck did finally go see the movie Noah, and he felt like a dirt ball for critiquing it before he actually saw it. So apparently, I'm going to bring this link up, as you are.
Yeah, me too. You saw me clicking.
I saw your highlighty thing. Yeah, I meant to actually have that out, so we didn't have to do that. But
I'll paste in the tadpole as well.
Page
not found.
Oh, no, I found it. You must have missed a character or something.
You know what? I get Kenneth's name in the... When you guys click that link I put in there, leave out the ending bit. There we go.
He said he still thinks the movie's awful and didn't like it at all, but for 100 other reasons. So he still didn't like the movie, but he decided to see it. You know what? I mean, good on him. I'd rather you do that than, I guess, not. Why is he carrying,
good for him.
Why is he carrying such a tiny little flag in that photo? What's that about? Is that supposed to be a meaning, like on the side panel there, on the sidebar of the page?
I see him carrying a horse. Is that what you're
saying? No, it must change. Here.
Yeah, I get
he's holding
picture
a tiny,
him.
Well, I'm going to refresh.
Not carrying a horse.
Oh, now he's at a pulpit. Yeah, never mind. He is switching around.
A different. Oh, awesome. Let's look at the many faces of Glenn Beck. Oh, there he's just in a suit. So we get that one. We've got...
I can totally respect this, though.
Oh, a different suit with his glasses on his forehead.
You may be still biased toward the content. You may still whatever. But I'm glad you saw it and based it based on your seeing it. That's good.
Oh, here's him reading the Washington Post. No, the Jerusalem Post.
Oh, the Jerusalem Post.
Yes.
I love
the comics.
Yeah, the comic section. The funny papers in there.
This is great. You know, I do want, we're working on a redesign for my site, and I'm sure Jester's in the tadpole listening. I want the ability to have different photos come up of me doing different things on the side panels of my website.
Can you hold a tiny flag in yours?
Yes, I want to carry a horse and carry a little tiny flag. My God, the different images are endless. I have, I still haven't gotten to the tiny flag one, and I've seen, wow, here's one where he looks like, Michael Douglas in Falling Down.
Oh, wow. Great.
I've actually got a screenshot this for you.
Okay. Cap that one. I'll take a look at it.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Kenneth. We appreciate it. Final email from James Moss wrote in and said, hey, snot and booger.
Oh.
I wanted to weigh in on your Noah discussion as a believer. I'm not sure, or I'm sure I'm not the first nor the last. For starters, to answer your question about whether God is mentioned in the blah, 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 we already talked about that. As for the movie, I totally agree with you that judgment should be reserved until seen. At least outspoken judgment should. For example, I don't have to read 50 Shades of Grey to know that it's something I don't want to mess with and would more likely offend my sensibilities. Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. Because you kind of know ahead of time what's going on there. And you can do that same thing with movies. If you're offended by certain content, you can find out if Aronofsky's got a nude scene between Hermione Granger and Maximus Overdrive. Is that his name? No. Maximus Aurelius, whatever it was. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'll wait till we're done with this email.
But I'm also not going to go on the radio and pretend to be an expert on it. As far as Noah goes, I realize that it's being made by a person who does not share my beliefs. He's an atheist. And is quoted as saying that Noah is the least biblical film ever made. He's also said that he's proud that he has made the story so secular. Knowing that, it's already going to be hard for me to go into this movie with an open mind. His comment suggests that he did not treat it with respect, something that I hold sacred, meaning the story or the Bible. I'm not going to get angry and kick and scream about it. Heck no. I just want to I'll watch the movie. And if my concerns are confirmed, I'll be sad, but not surprised. I'd rather be surprised. Build the boat, yo, James Moss. All right. Okay. What were you going to say?
I agree to some degree. I mean, I think that, yeah, knowing that you're not going to like something based on what you know about it is one thing, but outwardly saying this is bad, this is, you know, this isn't good, this is goes against every principle, blah, 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 without having seen it is wrong, is misleading.
Well, I feel like you can see a thing like 50 Shades of Grey and go,
and you can know that you're not going to like it.
Yeah. Sure. And by the way, I think it's kind of a bad comparison. I think there's a difference between saying I refuse to see Top Gun because there's a scene with Kelly McGillis in it. Pick my breath away. Right. You might say that.
Yeah.
But you know that that's going to be this little bit of a giant movie that you might hate for other reasons, but whatever. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to say, gee, I'm not sure what Backdoor Betty Five is going to be about. You know what I mean? Like you kind of know. So they're bad. They're bad comparisons. I don't think 50 Shades of Grey and the Noah story, no matter how secular it's told, I don't feel like those are on the same, even on the same plate. But if you've got a certain set of standards that you want to adhere to and you don't want to, you know, go and see something, we live in a time now where you can be fully educated on that stuff. There's a website and there are multiple websites that'll say, hey, in this movie, God's never mentioned. There's nudity. There's swearing. Whatever your things are that get offended, and you can know before then. Well, probably not for me then.
It's not for me. Yep.
And be done with it.
Yes.
And this I'm not calling you out, James. I'm just saying that's good. Great. Exercise that ability, but let everyone else do it too. Protesting the movie by not seeing it is one thing. Protesting the movie by making a big stink with some organization on the internet is you telling other people what to do. And that's where I draw the line. I know there's some gray area there, but that's where I draw it. Yeah. Just don't go see it then.
It does bring up one question, though. Is Backdoor Betty Five streaming anywhere?
No.
Oh,
no, they took it off. It was too much, even for the internet we're on now.
Darn it.
I know. Wait for Internet 2. It'll be fine. If you'd like to send us in, Bill Clinton promised. Come on. What's going on with that? You want to email us? themorningstream@gmail.com? You can. themorningstream@gmail.com is the email address. On the website, you'll find us at frogpants.com/TMS. Morningstream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville are our Twitter accounts. Tomorrow, Therapy Thursday, and TMS PM. Big day tomorrow. So watch for that. That means you'll get a new show.
It's a double.
I'll put it up that night, but you could even just wait till Friday, and then there's your Friday fill, you know?
Right. It's almost like your FMS, your Friday morning stream.
Yeah, your FMS, your friggin' monkey's squat. That's it for us, though. We're done. Do you want to, should we go out with a song? Some kind of music?
Let's go out with a song.
All right.
I think we need something.
Well, let's do it. We got all wired up here.
Stuff got heavy. Mm-hmm. Stuff got heavy, but good. Good heavy. I like those philosophical discussions.
Sure.
Dear Scott and Brian, I would like to make a request for a cover of the song I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire by the Inkspots. I'm sure you love this, by the way, Scott, being a Bioshock. Yeah. This was featured in Bioshock 1. It's such a cool song.
Really good.
Back to the email. It's what you would call our song between my husband Nathan and I. I want to tell him how thankful I am for his love and support as we have gone through many doctor appointments, drugs, and tests trying to have our first baby. This month is noteworthy because I was supposed to go through my first IVF procedure, and instead I'm 5 months pregnant with a sweet baby boy. Thank you both, Scott and Brian, for the laughs that you have brought both of us and all that TMS and Frog Pants does to lift our hearts. Love the show and the smooth sound of your voices. Kaylin, a.k.a. Sweet Peppa, in the Tadpool, and your Oklahoma fan.
Nice.
I love this song. I think it's such a cool song, especially kind of that distant plink plunk version that they had in BioShock that was really cool and seemed kind of ominous and a little scary kind of.
Yeah, good.
How about a version here by Mr. Clem Snide?
He's got the best name ever.
Clem Snide.
Yeah.
This one came out on one of those great Starbucks releases, the Hear Music Sweetheart Love Songs. They put one of these out almost every year since 2004. This was on the very first one. It's a cover of the Ink Spots' I Don't Want to Set the World on
All
Fire.
All right. Well, don't you forget, everybody.
I thought you'd love ranch life after staying at my place last night.
Last night.
All right. We're going to play... We're going to play this song now. Thank you all for being here. We appreciate it. And any final words, Daryl? Oh, I can't find it. I was going to play this thing.
Oh.
That's too. Oh, no, here it is. Any final words, Daryl?
Right. That was your dong.
All right. Thanks, man. Thanks for clearing that up. Here you go.
Quick clarification. Fallout 3, not BioShock.
Oh, what'd you say? BioShock? Oh, I knew what you meant BioShock the whole time, but I wasn't clicking with me either. Whatever. Yeah. Both good games. Relax, everybody. Hold your email. Save them for Noah discussion, all right? We don't need to hear about BioShock and freaking all that. All right, here you go. I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire, Even Though I Do, by Clem Snide. Jeez. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show. See you then.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart, 'cause in my heart I have but one desire. That one is you, no other will do. I've lost all ambition for worldly acclaim. I just wanna be the one you love, with your admission you feel the same. I'll have reached the goal that I've been dreaming of, 'cause I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start flame in your heart, 'cause I just want a star. Flame in your heart. I just want a star. Flame.
About this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
She's gross. I don't like her. She's kind of hot, though. I really don't know the context of that.
No, but I love it. I hope it's about Kate Upton.
It probably is.